జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిశ విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిలహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సౌ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోవ గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనమహం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నోయత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్మయాదితరదశ్చాత్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతే యత్ సూరయ తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోచిత గైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తవత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కింబోవరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యతే అత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖానమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగా సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహగాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయతరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం వ్యాససోనుమభయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కిశోరముగ్రమూర్తే కళవేణు కొణిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం నక్కణికాభి కావిగాభి నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః പീതാംബരം കനവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വദാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ, ശ്രീരാധയായ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധരാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ. നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പരിഹാരായ ത്വത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ. പരാശരോജസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാ ബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹവേദീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വൻ വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈർസാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാംഗം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, when we talked about this seventh chapter, where Ashwatthama was brought in front of Draupadi, and the Pandavas were all there, Krishna was there, and what happened was that Ashwatthama was tied by the rope by Arjuna and brought in front of Draupadi. Draupadi says to Arjuna, Muchyadam Muchyadam Esha Brahmano Nidaram Guru. Release him. Don't tie him down. After all, he is the son of our teacher, Dronacharya. Hearing this, Ashwatthama felt awkward, because you could see Ashwatthama's situation. Ashwatthama has done the very lowest thing what one could think of. He decided to kill the children of Draupadi after the war was over, and that too in a very deeply, in a very, very, very bad way, that he decided to go and slaughter or butcher all the children. And seeing all these things, there was a change in the heart of Draupadi. You could see that. How Draupadi's situation has changed. So, Draupadi realized that till now, from her tongue, the words she has spoken to her husbands, particularly to Bhima, Arjuna, Yudhishthira and others, it was always the words of revenge. You could see that, isn't it? Throughout the war, because Draupadi has spoken certain things, because of that, Bhima went ahead and smashed the thigh of Duryodhana and reacted in a very revengeful way to Duryodhana. Even after they have lost the war, they decided to take the revenge on Duryodhana. Even though they lost the war and only Duryodhana was left behind and he was dying, even at that moment the revenge was so strong in Bhimasena's heart. Why was that happening? Because of the words from Draupadi behind. Knowing this, what happened? That revenge is not going to solve the problems. Draupadi has now started realizing that she had been responsible to a large extent for all what has happened to this way. Even though she is a devotee, does not mean that she is exempted from all this. But because there is Krishna's grace to her, Krishna has shown some kripa or mercy to her, her mind started changing. This is exactly what we too need in our life. That we have all the bad things inside, but if that has to go, it has to come from Krishna. Krishna has to make that happen. And now slowly but steadily, Draupadi is realizing her words were responsible for many of the things what happened after the war. War was over. The Kauravas have lost the war. But they didn't let it go. What happened? Even after the war, when the finishing touches, that Duryodhana, Bhimasena took the revenge on Duryodhana. Equally, for what happened in the association of, in the assembly, for disrobing Draupadi, she took the vow in the same way Dushasana will be killed, and hearing the words of Draupadi, Bhima took the vow to kill Dushasana in the same way. These two incidents, if you look what happened in the war, you can see very well how much influence Draupadi had on the activities of Bhimasena and Arjuna. So at this point in time, Draupadi is realizing within herself that she was responsible to some extent, and she now seeing that this revenge, the revengeful mood is not the right thing to do in life. And she is saying now that even though Ashwatthama killed her own children, Vedavyasa Maharshi is pointing out to us this one particular point here in the Bhagavadam, that Draupadi is realizing that what she has done, the mistake, what mistake she has done. And not only that, it says, Uvacha chasahandyasya bandhanamainam sati uchyadam uchyadam esha brahmano nitaram guru. Bandhano bandhanamainam sati. Bandhanamainam means that Ashwatthama is tied. Ashwatthama is tied. But behind this tying business, that this enmity and revenge inside Draupadi, that was tying her down as well. She was also being tied down by the enmity and the revengeful mood inside. So, in this way, she has become to somewhat responsible to make Bhimasena to take the vow to do what he did, Arjuna also to some extent, because Arjuna has gone and done this to Ashwatthama, brought him back, tying him down, and all these things. So, so at that time Draupadi is praying to Krishna that all these bad things in her own heart, lust, anger, greed, hate, and pride, all the things, she is asking Krishna to remove it from within the heart. And as soon as Ashwatha Panjali or Draupadi prayed in this way to release Ashwatthama, you can understand that there is a prayer in her words to Krishna to free her from this difficult situation she is inside. Because you can see, if the words of hate and revenge, if that comes from our own tongue, that also becomes a cause of bondage later. in our life, it can turn out to be a cause of bondage. You can remember that Bhimasena went and split the, broke open the chest of Dushasana as a revengeful way, and similar only because of he has made that commitment to Draupadi that he will do that. Similarly, Duryodhana's thighs were smashed by the club from by Bhimasena because again to honor the word he has given to Draupadi in the war. So you can see everyone themselves, they get caught up in their words. They make a commitment and they get caught up in that. So this enmity and the hate and that revenge, anger, all these things, so one makes it responsible for our own destruction. So that is why she is praying to Krishna here that although she is very dear to Krishna, she is praying to Krishna to release her from these thoughts inside. And this is how Vedavyasa Maharshi is presenting Draupadi here in the Bhagavadam. In the Bhagavadam, Draupadi is presented in that way by Vedavyas. Anyway, Arjuna looked at Krishna's face at that time. Govinda Priya Sarathi, as we said yesterday, one who is very dear to Krishna, Govinda Priya Sarathi, that charioteer. So, Govinda Priya Sarathi means it's not only from the way the driving the chariot, it's not only in that way it is understood. It's also understood another way, the one who sits inside all of us and driving the chariot of the mind. One who is driving our chariot. Indeed, in that sense it's spoken Govinda Priya Sarathi. Govinda Priya Sarathi. So, at that moment, when Arjuna looked at Krishna's, towards Krishna, Krishna's response was, whatever Draupadi has spoken is true. Krishna confirmed that. But look at this side, Bhima's opinion is that still we have to kill Ashwatthama. So, Bhimasena was ready there, that if nobody is going to kill Ashwatthama, I am going to kill him. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, whatever Draupadi has spoken is correct, whatever Bhima is saying is also correct. Look at Arjuna's situation. Krishna is saying this to him. One side, Krishna is saying that whatever Draupadi has spoken is correct. Release him. Muchadam mesha nidaram brahmano guru. On the other side, he is saying to him, that whatever Krishna is saying, that whatever Bhimasena has spoken is also correct. So, this is where you can see, to understand Krishna, it's only possible for a devotee like Arjuna. Arjuna understood the situation very well, what Krishna was pointing at. So, such devotees who can understand Krishna's thinking and Krishna's mood, and that is only known to the devotees. So it is in that way Krishna carries the mind of the devotees. So Arjuna understood the situation. That is why you will see one verse there. If you read that verse, that is a difficult verse, the way it has been spoken, that to 36 in the chapter, seventh chapter. Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam striyam jadam prabannam viradham vidam naripam handi dharma vil. One part of the verse is saying in one way, another part is saying in a different way. Mattam pramattam unmattam suptam balam striyam jadam prabannam viradham vidam naripam handi dharma vil. Mattam, pramattam, unmattam, suptam, balam, striyam, jadam. These people, one who is intoxicated, one who has gone crazy, and children, and one who is sleeping in suptam, children, women, all these things, will anybody kill them? That is not usual. Prabhanna viradham vidam naribam handi dharma vil. Then if he has, somebody was fighting in the battlefield, and then his chariot has broken away, and he is running away without the chariot he has to fight, in that case you don't kill him. That is also against the laws of the battlefield. So, naribam handi dharma vil. Even if it is an enemy, you don't kill him. That is how he puts it there. But it also means that matta pramattam unmattam suptam balam striyam jadam. One who has killed children, does he not get to be killed as well? All these things are implied in that. So both sides, it looks logical. From both ways, only one side, what Ashwatthama has done is gone and killed the children, for which he has to be killed. On the other hand, and the children were sleeping as well. These children were sleeping. Suttam balam, sriyam jadam. Prabhanna viradham vidam naribam handi dharma vil. And for he is running away, and you have gone and caught him. Because when Krishna and Arjuna chased Ashwatthama, after a while, Ashwatthama jumped out of the chariot and started running. And when he started running, they chased him and finally caught him. And then they tied him and brought him here. So the two opinions comes up there. Bhimasena is correct in saying, because he has killed the children, he need to be killed. Draupadi is saying, he should not be killed because Brahmano Nitaram Guru. Muchadam Uchadamesha Brahmano Nitaram Guru. His role is, he is the son of our teacher. How can we kill him? So these two things has come up there. And it was at that time, you can see that Arjuna understood the situation. Killing, what does killing mean? He took the sword, and as soon as he took the sword and tried to cut Arjuna's head, instead of cutting the throat, it cut his hair off from the top. And cut off his ropes with which he was tied, and told him to get out from there, and told him to leave the place. You will see that in the 57th verse. Vavanam dravinadanam sthanal niryavanam tada eshahi brahma bandhunam vadho nanyosti daihiga. So, killing a brahmana or killing someone in that state is vavanam dravinadanam, shave him up and take away all his possessions, and sthanal niryavanam tada, take him away from his position in this world. All these things is compared to be supposed to be as bad as killing, as good as killing, in other words, as good as killing. So that is called brahmavadham. He is a brahma bandhu, isn't it? Eshahi brahma bandhunam vadho nanyosti dehiga. So nanyosti dehiga means that you don't have to kill him, his body. You don't have to kill his body. But Draupadi has given a special concession to Ashwatthama that he has to be killed, and that killing for a Brahmabandhu is like this, cutting his hair off, shaving him up, and cutting the ropes away, and told him to leave. So, so they know very well that it is only due to Draupadi's words that Ashwatthama's body was given protection. Ashwatthama's body was protection. So, in that situation, you would have thought that Ashwatthama should have felt some gratitude towards Draupadi for letting him go, saving his life, isn't it? Actually, Draupadi has saved his life at that moment. But it didn't happen. But still, it didn't happen. That you can see later. What did do Ashwatthama's later life? If you look, when he went into Uttaradevi's womb, he sent a brahmastram to kill Parikshit, who was inside in the womb of Uttara. So Vedavyasa Maharshi put an end to that part there in the Mahabharatam. And says to us, similar to Draupadi, in the same family of the Kauravas, there were other two lady devotees, ladies, who was Uttaradevi and Kundi Devi. And she is trying, Vedavyas is trying to show to us that how way ahead was Uttara and Kundi Devi compared to Draupadi in their devotion to Krishna. So, while Uttaradevi and had the same anger, less greed and other problems, but Krishna has cut them off from their heart. And what we read in the Mahabharatam as well as in the Bhagavatam is their love and their bhakti or devotion to Krishna. And similar, just like so many gopis, they loved Krishna in the same way, and similar attachment and bhakti have cultivated by Uttaradevi and Kundi Devi as well. We don't have to look into what kind of rasas they had. That is not important. What is important is, similar to the gopis, Uttaradevi and Kundi Devi and others, they have also built up a relationship with Krishna in that way. So that is why how that chapter finishes there. And you can see there that Vedavyasa Maharshi, that is what is showing to us in the next chapter. In the next chapter. So while leaving this chapter, you can read through that in the Prabhupada's written detailed purports and all that. That he is saying there that the that Brahma Bandur Nahandavyam Atadhai Vatarhana Mayevobhayamatnadam Paribahyanishasanam Kuripratishodam Satyam Yatal Sandwayadam Priyam Priyam cha bhimasenasya panchalyo mahyamevacha sutavacha arjuna sahasatnyayam harer hardhamathasinam manim jaharamurdhanyam dvijasya samurdhajam mumuchirashanabaddham balahatyahata prabham tejasamaninahinam shibiranirayabhayan vapanam dravinadanam sthanal niryapanam tada yashahi brahma bandhunam madhonanyosti dehiga putra shogadura sarve pandava saha krishnaya Swanamrudanam Yalkratyam Chakra Nurharanadiyam. In this way, Ashwatthama was released from there, and now we go into the next chapter. This chapter, the 8th chapter in the first canto, is about, Shridharajari Swami says, Ashtame Kubidadrone Astra Raksha Parikshida Shri Krishna Studi Kundya Rajnya Shokascha Kirtyade. How Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj from the Brahmastram, what was sent by Ashwatthama, and pleased with that, Krishna's protection, how Kunti Devi glorified Krishna, and the Yudhishthira Maharaj, at this point in time, feeling depressed after the Mahabharata war, that he has been responsible for this major catastrophe, major war, and with the death of so many people in that Mahabharata war. Now, Dharmaputra or Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling depressed about that. All these things are spoken in this eighth chapter, as well as Kunti's Sthuti glorification as well. We'll just read through that. Ashtamodhyayaha Sutavacham Adade Sambaredanam Swanamudagam Ichadam Dadum Sakrishna Gangayam Puraskritya Yustriya Te Nini Yodagam Sarve Vilapyaja Prashambuna Apluda Haripadabjaraja Pudasari Jale Tatrasinam Guribadim, Dhritarashtram Sahanijam, Gandharim Putrashogartham, Pradham Krishnam Jamathava, Sandvayama Samunibir Hadabandhun Shucharpidan, Budeshu Kala Segadim Darshayana Pradikriyam, Sadhaitva Jada Shatro Sumrajam, Kedavair Hradam, Kadaitva Sadoratya, Kujaspashakshadayusha, Yajaitva Shumedhistam Tibirutamakalpa, Tadisha Pavanam Dikshu Shadamanyu Rivatanul. Amandre Vandu Putram Shaina Yodhava Samyuda Doibayana Adivir Viprai Pujidai Pratipujida Gandum Kramadar Brahman Dwarakam Rathama Astida Ubalai Bhedi Dhavandi Uttarab Bhayavi Khalam Uttare Vajam Pahibahimaha Yogin Deva Deva Jagalpade Nanyam Tuad Vayam Vashayatra Murti Varasparam Abhidravdi Mamisha Sharasaptaya Soho Vibhokam Dakhudumam Natha Mami Garbho Nibatyadam Suta Vaja Upadarva Jastasya Bhagavan Bhaktavalsala അപാണ്ഡവമിതം കർത്തും ദ്രൗണേ അസ്ത്രമബുദ്ധ്യത തർഹേ വാദമുനി ശ്രേഷ്ഠ പാണ്ഡവ പഞ്ചസാ ഏകാൻ ആത്മനോഭിമുഖാന്തീപ്ത അലക്ഷ്യാസ്ത്രാനുപാദതും വ്യസനം വീക്ഷ തത്തേഷാം അനന്യ വിഷയാൽപനാം സുദർശന സ്വാസ്ത്രേണ സ്വാനാം രക്ഷാം വ്യഥാദ്വിപോ അന്തസ്ഥ സർവഭൂതാനാം ആത്മയോഗേശ്വരോ ഹരി സ്വമായാവൃണോത്ഗർഭം വൈരാട്യ കുരുതന്തവേ യദ്യപ്യസ്ത്രം ബ്രഹ്മശിരസ്തമോഹം ചാപ്രതിക്രയം വൈഷ്ണവം തേജമാസാദ്യ സമശാമ്യൽ ബ്രഹൂദ്വഹ മാമം സ്ഥാഹ്യതാശ്ചര്യം സർവാശ്ചര്യമയേച്ചുത യ ഇദം മായാ ദേവ്യാ സൃജത്യവരിഹന്ത്യ ച ബ്രഹ്മതേജോ വിർമുക്തൈ ആത്മജൈ സഹ കൃഷ്ണയാ പ്രയാണാഭിമുഖം കൃഷ്ണമിദമാഹകൃതാ സതി കുന്തിവാച നമസേ പുരുഷം ത്വാദ്യമീശ്വരം പ്രകൃതേ പരം അലക്ഷ്യം സർവഭൂതാനാമന്തർബഹിരവസ്ഥിതം മായാജവനികാച്ഛന്നമജ്ഞാധോക്ഷജമവ്യയം നലക്ഷ്യസേ മൂഢദൃശാ നടോ നാട്യധരോ യഥാ തഥാ പരമഹംസാനാം മുനീനാം അമലാൽപനാം ഭക്തിയോഗവിധാനാർത്ഥം കഥം പശ്യേമഹ സ്ത്രിയാ കൃഷായ വാസുദേവായ ദേവകീ നന്ദനായ ചാ നന്ദഗോപകുമാരായ ഗോവിന്ദായ നമോ നമ നമ പങ്കജനാഭായ നമ പങ്കജമാലിനേ നമ പങ്കജനേത്രായ നമസ്തേ പങ്കജാംഘ്രയേ യഥാ ഹൃഷികേശഖലേന ദേവകീ കംസേന രുദ്ധാദിശിരം ശുചാർപ്പിതാ വിമോചിതാഹം ചാത്മജാ വിഭോ ത്വയൈവ നാഥേന മുഹുർവിപൽഗണാൽ വിഷാമഹാഗ്നേ പുരുഷാദദർശനാൽ അസൽ സഭായാം മനുമാസകൃച്ഛതാം മൃതേ മൃതേനേകമഹാരഥോസ്ത്രഥോ ദ്രൗണ്യസ്ത്രതശ്ചാസ്മ ഹരേഭിരക്ഷിത വിപദസന്തുനശ്വാൽ തത്ര തത്ര ജഗദ്ഗുരോ ഭവതോ ദർശനം യസ്യാല പുനർഭവദർശനം ജന്മൈശ്വരേശ്വര ശ്രീവീര്യധമാനമദപ്പുമാൻ നൈവാർഹ്യതവിദാനം വൈത്വാം അകിഞ്ചന ഗോചരം നമോ അകിഞ്ചന വിത്തായ നിവൃത്ത ഗുണവൃത്തയെ അൽപാരാമായ ശാന്തായ കൈവല്യപതയേ നമ മന്യത്വം കാലമീശാനമാനീധനം വിഭം സമം ചരന്തം സർവത്ര ഭൂതാനാം യന്മിതഖലി നവേദ കശ്ചിൽഭുഗം ചികീർഷിതം തവേഹമാനസ്യതൃണാം വിഡംബരം നയസ്യ കശ്ചിൽ ദേദോസ്തി ഗ്രഹിജൽ ദേഷ്വശ്ചേസ്മിൻ വിഷമാ മധുർനൃണാം ജന്മകർമ്മജനശ്വാത്മൻ അജസ്യാകർത്തുരാത്മന തിര്യങ് ഋഷിയാദസൂത അത്യന്ത വിഡംബനം ഗോപ്യാദേ ത്വയിദാസിതാമതാവലിയാദേ ദശാശ്രുകലിലാഞ്ജന സംഭ്രമാക്ഷം വക്രം വിനീ നിനീയ ഭയഭാവനയാ സ്ഥിതസ്യ സാമാം വിമോഹേതി ഭീരവിയൽ ബിഭേദി കേജിദാഹുരജം ജാത പുണ്യശ്ലോകസ്യ കീർത്തയേ യഥോ പ്രിയസന്നുവായേ മലയസ്യ ചന്ദനം അപരേ വാസുദേവസ്യ ദേവക്യാം ആചിതോഭ്യകാൽ അജസ്തമസ്യ ക്ഷേമായ വധായ സുരദ്വിഷാം ഭാരാവതരണായ അന്യേ ഭൂവോ നാവിബോധതോ സീതന്ത്യ ഭൂരിഭാരേണ ജാതോ ആത്മഭൂവാർത്തിത ഭവേസ്മിൻ ദൃശ്യമാനാമ വിദ്യാകാമകർമ്മഭി ശ്രവണസ്മരണാർഹാണി കരിഷ്യന്തി കേചന ശൃണുന്തി ഗായന്തി കൃണന്തി അഭീഷ്ണശാസ്മരന്തി നന്ദിതവൈഹിതം ജന തായവ പശ്യന്ത ജനേന ധാവകം ഭാവ പ്രവാഹോ പരമം പദാംബുജം അപ്യദ്യനസ്തം സുഹൃദേഹിത പ്രമോജിഹാസ സിസ്വൽസുഹൃദോനുജീവിനം യേഷാം നജാനിൽ ഭവത പദാംബുജൽ പരായണം രാജസുയോജിതാം ഹസാം കേവയം നാമരൂപാവം യദ്ഭി സഹ പാണ്ഡവ ഭവതോ ദർശനം യർഹിക്ഷികാണാമി വേഷിതും നയം ശോഭിഷ്യതേ യത്ര യഥേധാനിം ഗദാധരാ തുൽപതൈരംഗിതാ ഭാതി സുലക്ഷണ വിലക്ഷിതൈ ഇമേ ജനവദാ സുദ്ദാ പക്വൌഷധീ വിരുധ വനാദി നദ്യുദന്വന്തോ ഏതന്നേതോ വീക്ഷിതൈ അഥ വിശേഷ വിശ്വാൽപം വിശ്വമൂർത്തേ സുഖേഷു മേ സ്നേഹവാമശമിമം ചിന്തി ദൃഢം പാണ്ഡുഷു വൃഷ്ണിഷു ത്വയിമേ അനന്യ വിഷയമതിർമതിപതേ അസകൃൽ രതിമുദ്ധതാദർദ്ധാ ഗംഗേ ഔഘമുദന്വതി ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ വൃഷ്ണ്യഷഭാവനി ദുർഗാജന്യവംശനാനപവർഗവീര്യ ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോദ്വിജസുരാർത്തി ഹരാവതാര യോഗീശ്വര അഖില ഗുരോ ഭഗവൻ നമസ്തേ ശ്രീസൂതവാച പ്രതേഥം കളപതി പരീണിതാഖിലോദയ മന്ദം ജഹാസ വൈകുണ്ടോ മോഹയ നിവമായയാ താംഭാടമിത്യുപാമന്ത്ര പ്രവിശ ഗജസാഹ്വയം സ്ത്രീയശ്ച സുവരം വ്യാസൻ പ്രയത്ന രാജ്ഞാ നിവാരിത വ്യാസാദി ഈശ്വരേഹാജ്ഞേ കൃഷ്ണേ അത്ഭുത കർമ്മണ പ്രബോധിതോ വിധിഹാസേന ബുദ്ധിയേ ശുചാർപ്പിത അഹരാജ ധർമ്മസ്ചിന്തയൻ സുഹൃദാം വധം പ്രാകൃതേനാൽപനവിപ്ര സ്നേഹമോഹവശം ഗദാ ഹോമേ പശ്യതാജ്ഞാനം ഹൃതിരൂഢം ദുരാത്മന പാരക്യ സേവദേഹസ്യ ഹോമേക്ഷണീർഹത ബാലദ്വിജൻ സുഹൃന്മിത്ര പിതൃഭ്രാതൃഗുരുദ്രുഹ നമേ സ നിരയാൻ മോക്ഷോ അഭിവർഷായുധായിതൈ നൈനോരാജ്ഞ പ്രജാവർത്തോ ധർമ്മയുദ്ധേവതോ ദ്വിഷാം ഇതിമേ നതുബോധായ കൽപ്പതേ ശാസനം വച സ്ത്രീണാം മദ്ധത ബന്ധൂനാം ദ്രോഹോയോ സ്വവിഹോത്യത കർമ്മവിഗ്രഹമേതിയേർന്നാഹം കൽപ്പോ വ്യബോഹിതം യഥാ പങ്കേന പങ്കാവസുരയാ വാസുരക്രതം ഭൂതഹത്യാം ധൈവാകം നയജ്ഞേർമാശ്വമർഹതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേ കുന്തിസ്തുതി അനുഷ്ഠാനുതാവോ കുന്തിസ്തുതി അനുതാവോ നാമ അഷ്ടമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ after the Mahabharata war, so many things what happened after the war is spoken here. The purpose of saying all these things is to tell us the show us that how qualified Parikshit was for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Parikshit, what's the reason that he has come and decided to hear Bhagavatam? Because he was informed that there is a danger coming. On the seventh day, that he will be bitten by the Takshaka and he will die. That was a curse, isn't it? You get cursed or somebody gets anger with you. These are situations when Krishna's mercy or grace is not there. That's when those things happen. So, you may ask the question that, is it because that Parikshit didn't have that grace, Krishna's grace, that this curse has happened to him, and he had come and sat there to hear Bhagavatam because of that? Normally people will think like that, Parikshit was very unfortunate that this curse has happened to him, or an incident like that, what happened with Parikshit. But a dangerous situation has happened to him because he heard that in the seventh day from then he is going to be bitten by Takshaka and he is going to leave the body, so he has decided to come and sat there and ready to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But it is not in that way. Normally you can see, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that artho jityasu artharthi jnani. Four kinds of people, Krishna says, are my devotees, isn't it? So, when difficulties comes in life, only those who are fortunate will feel like getting closer to Krishna. That is the nature. Only when difficulties come, normally we try to shy away from Krishna. But only those who are fortunate, they will use that opportunity to develop bhakti at that point. Because when difficulties come, difficulties come that we think that, oh, we have served Krishna and this is what has happened in my life. That's one way of looking at things. People generally go in that direction. You can see when somebody starts getting up early, waiting early, chanting the holy name, going to the temple, suddenly in his life, if change happens like that, people will say, what has happened to him? Why this change in life? He was living a normal life. Why has he left everything now? Taken to a different way of life. People will ask like that, isn't it? Maybe something has happened in his life that he is in disturbed or distressed condition. That is why he has started this. So, Parikshit has come like that. Has he come in that way to come and hear Bhagavatam? That something has happened in his life. So, like you can compare it like this. Ekadashi fasting, you can do it in two different ways. Suppose you have no money to buy food. then also you can fast, isn't it? There's no money to buy anything. So you decided to fast. That's the best way to solve the problem. You just fast. And you're fasting and at the same time, because you didn't have the money. But there's another way also, you have a lot of food, plenty of food at home, and there is no shortage of food. But still you have decided to fast. So these two people, there is a difference there, is it not? One who is fasting out of necessity, and another one taken a decision to follow Ekadashi in spite of the fact that he has enough food at home, he has decided to follow Ekadashi. So Parikshit belongs to the second category, that he had everything, but he decided to give up everything and wanted to serve Krishna. Wanted to serve Krishna. This is why, to show to us, Parikshit was not an ordinary person like us. He, in spite of all the problems that came to him, he decided to take the advantage of that and go to Krishna rather than going away from Krishna. When he was cursed by the Rishi, Shamika Rishi, in normal situation, it could have happened that Parikshit would have thought about some other way of escaping from that curse. He could have come out of it if he wanted. And there were ways too, because even Shamika Rishi didn't approve that curse, what Sringi has done. Shamika Rishi told Sringi that what you have done is the wrong thing. After all, Parikshit is our king. that respect what Shamigrishi had. So Shamigrishi could have changed that decision of the death of Parikshit. But Parikshit did not take it that way. Instead he thought, this is an opportunity that Krishna has put it in front of me and let me take advantage of that. That is the Parikshit's greatness. That is Parikshit's greatness. Just like in the last chapter we saw how Draupadi, how she is making progress in the spiritual path. Even though a devotee, she had all these anarthas inside, anger, hate, revenge, all other problems. Somehow or the other, because she took shelter of Krishna, at least at the time of Ashwatthama was brought in, she was able to make a decision to release him. Instead, like the way she did with Duryodhana and Dushasana, if she has spoken one word that he should be killed, Ashwatthama would have been probably got into more trouble then. There were various things to look at in this, that Draupadi had tremendous revenge inside. After all, she is also from one of the royal family members. And Draupadi's mood was that they should be punished. Isn't it? Draupadi, like we also say, isn't it? Sometimes when people are, some serious crimes happen, everybody says, oh, justice must be done. What is that justice? We are talking. Person is dead and gone. What justice can you do now? That is our revenge inside. Isn't it? It's nothing we can do about it. We think that we are the one who have to do all the justice in this world, for everything what's happening in this world. That's another side of it. But what I'm saying is that revenge is not something easy to take it away. You can see Draupadi suffered from that. Dhruva Maharaj suffered from that. You know what happened in Dhruva's life. So to get rid of that from inside is not easy. That hate and that revenge mood, unless Krishna decides to do that. And Draupadi's case, at least now she is realizing that what she has developed, that hate towards Duryodhana and Dushasana, and similar hate she could have built up against Ashwatthama, but due to Krishna's grace, she escaped from that, and Ashwatthama was released. So, but that has happened then. Now, Parikshit's case also you can see. As a devotee, he had an opportunity to counteract that curse, what was imposed upon him by Shringi, but instead of reacting to that, willing to accept what Krishna has given, wholeheartedly without complaining, that is a devotee. This is devotee. Devotee means that, able to accept whatever Krishna has given to us in life, whatever comes in whichever form it comes, instead of reacting to it, accepting that is how Krishna has decided that I should go through in my life, and accepting that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So that's what he's saying here, that that not only Parikshit, his whole family had Krishna's grace, blessings, and that is already shown there, and in order to show to us, that is why this whole story from Mahabharatam has brought back here into Bhagavatam. Where has it come now? It has come to this state that Ashwatthama had been sent back, and Ashwatthama, in spite of all that, his revenge has not gone away from him, from his heart. And what did he say? I will make sure that this planet is without anyone from Pandava's family. Apandaveyam, he says there. The word you will see there, he uses the word Apandaveyam. Apandaveyam means that there won't be one person left in this world from the Pandava dynasty. He mentions in that the 7th chapter. So, so to say that, you can imagine Ashwatthama's intelligence, how it's working. In other words, you will see one thing here to summarize the whole thing. Normally, you don't find anywhere in the Mahabharatam or in the Bhagavatam where Krishna getting angry with anyone. You never see that. If you look there, either in the Bhagavatam or in the Mahabharatam, there is not one instance where it has affected Krishna to any extent to say something very strong words against anyone. But it's, if Krishna has shown that to anybody, there's only one person, and that's Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is only one person to whom Krishna has taken a very strong view, strong way he spoken about him. So Ashwatthama was tied, and what did Krishna say? That Krishna says at that point, in Mahabharata you will see this, this person won't die because he is a Chiranjeevi. He has got, he is not someone you can't kill him also. And unfortunately that is the way he is. He has got eternity in life. Like many, there are other people also, six or seven people mentioned there. So, sometimes you can see there's also that problem with Ashwatthama. So, sometimes you will see somebody becomes a real nuisance in life, in this world. People curse him. Let this fellow die and go from here. At least that will be the best thing to happen, isn't it? You can't say that about Ashwatthama here because he won't die either. So what did Krishna do at that time? He said that, just like you can see, that as long as this world stays, remains, let him get some serious illness and starve and suffer like hell, like in the hell, and live like that. In this way, if Krishna has spoken about anyone in Mahabharata or Bhagavatam, it's about Ashwatthama. It's about Ashwatthama. So you can imagine from that, to upset Krishna, how bad he has to be. Ashwatthama has to be. So, but, you have to remember this, when we are saying all these things, the idea is not to develop a hate inside us towards Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is Lord Shiva's another incarnation. So you can understand that these are all the, what Vedavyasa Maharshi has given to us in Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam, is always to teach us, within the human species. These are personalities who have come with Krishna to play their role, and they had to play that role. And including Duryodhana, Dushasana, Kamsa, every single one of them, they have come here to play their role in Krishna's pastimes. But through these pastimes, Vedavyasa Maharshi is teaching us that what can happen if you do not take care of certain things in life. So here you will see that these kind of mentality, what you have seen in Draupadi, Ashwatthama and others, those mentalities should not built up within our heart. That is what is the message to learn from the Bhagavatam, not anything else. So, whether it is good or bad, or love or hate towards anyone, not to keep that inside the heart. That is the most important thing. So if something has happened towards somebody, it should finish then and there. It should not be carried forth to the future. So, many devotees say like this, that they say, it is something like, when you go to the toilet, you have removed what you have to take away from the body, then afterwards you don't think about it anymore. Similarly, these are impurities of the heart. And once things have happened, these are the, just like material body has its own excretia, we throw it away. In the similarly, urine and stool we pass away from the body. Similarly, the impurities of the mind is this hate, revenge and all other bad anger, hate and such things. And as long as if we retain that inside, we have to learn, like the way we pass the urine and the stool, we also have to learn to throw that away from the mind. That is called purification of the mind. So, and as long as we have a mind, and if we have these things inside, it will keep coming back again. So, normally with the material body, with the gross body, when we have gone to the toilet, we bathe or wash the hands and legs and come out from that. Similarly, it's the same thing what has to be done with the mind as well. So Ashwatthama, we say, a typical example of that. So not to become like him. That is the purpose behind that. Not to become like Ashwatthama. What did Ashwatthama do? Ashwatthama has done one thing. Uttara was pregnant. And after the Mahabharata war, Abhimanyu died, And Abhimanyu's wife, Uttaradevi, she decided to jump into the fire and give up the life. But Krishna told Uttaradevi not to give up the body, because in your womb there is a baby there, and this Pandava dynasty has to survive in this world through that child, Parikshit. So in order to protect that child, you should not kill yourself. This is how Krishna spoke to Uttaradevi. So it is only because Krishna has spoken to Uttaradevi that way, that young girl, Uttara was not very old, she was very young, that she did not, and she was also a widow, and she didn't jump into the fire. And it is that pregnancy of Uttaradevi, which is what Ashwatthama decided to destroy through Brahmastram. You can see here that another speciality of Krishna in relationship with Parikshit. Though we have seen with Pandavas how that relationship is. Earlier with the Pandavas, how Krishna's relationship was. A special affinity and special relationship with the Pandavas. And what was the speciality with Parikshit? Parikshit is that Krishna could have sent the Sudarshana disc to protect Parikshit. He could have sent, like he did with Ambarish, isn't it? He could have sent the Sudarshana disc. But instead of what did he do? Krishna decided to go personally with the womb, get into the womb and protect Parikshit there. He decided to do that. Even though he could have done that with Sudarshana. With Sudarshana. And Krishna stayed in that womb till Parikshit has come out. So, for the sake of the devotee, Krishna is even willing to go inside a womb and stay there as long as it's required. Isn't it? So, from there you can understand that Krishna's special relationship with Parikshit, something we have to notice here itself, that there is something special about that. He could have sent Sudarshana disc to protect Parikshit, but instead, personally he went there to make sure that Parikshit is safe and comes out. What is the reason? Reason for that is because he is the person through whom Srimad Bhagavatam is going to come to this world in course of time. So therefore, because he is going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the future, Krishna decided to protect him from the womb itself, There are certain characters, nature like that with Krishna. Krishna has certain speciality like that. In other words, not that Parikshit has not started serving Krishna yet. It's only going to happen much later. But once it's going to happen, protection starts for him way before than that. This is a speciality. This particular jiva, he has not started serving Krishna. He is only going to start serving later. Bhagavatam is going to happen much, much later. Isn't it? He is not born even yet. But protection for that jiva has already started from Krishna's side. Because Krishna has already decided that if he has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole activity has to begin now. And that is why he has not become a devotee yet. We say devotee, Parikshit is a devotee. But he has not become a proper devotee in that sense, that he hasn't heard Srimad Bhagavatam. But Krishna has decided to protect him way before, during his birth itself. Actually, these things, when we talk about that, we won't understand it actually. It is a bit difficult to capture that. Because only when you are related to Krishna in that way, and when certain things happens in life, and when you get that protection from Krishna, devotees recognize that how Krishna has protected him from another greater calamity which would have happened otherwise. How protection has come to him. That to appreciate that, what this happened to Parikshit, only that devotee who is always in the shelter of Krishna will understand that. So, and that is why when such incidents happens in life, a devotee will recognize that how much protection Krishna has given him from other difficulties. So, suddenly when you talk about it, it is difficult to understand, but only through living in this world, how Krishna has protected every one of us at different situations in life, that you will start thinking about it at that time. That is why Sudha Goswami said, Janmandara Bhavel Punyam Tada Bhagavadam Lebhed. That Janmandara Bhavel Punyam, that only one who has that good fortune that he can hear Srimad Bhagavadam. Otherwise, one who is going to hear Srimad Bhagavadam later, Parikshit Maharaj is not hearing now, he is going to hear much later, he is not even born. When he heard Bhagavadam, he was around 60 years old by the time he heard Srimad Bhagavadam. At the age of 16, he became he was put onto the throne, and then 36 years or so he was on the throne, and it is after that Kali comes, and it was at that time Parikshit went to kill the Kali, and all that story will come at the end of Bhagavadam. So you can imagine 50, 60 years way before Parikshit was going to hear Srimad Bhagavadam, even way before that, protection to Parikshit was offered by Krishna to show to us that if somebody is going to be a devotee at some point in time in life, his protection is always there from Krishna's side. Krishna has taken care of that. We may be looking at it in a different way. That is because of our indifference inside us. We look at things in a different way. You can't take it that way. Bhagavadam is telling us that if a devotee, somebody is going to become a devotee in future, sometime later in life, even that person will get the protection from Krishna's side even much earlier. Even much earlier. That is also implied in this. Implied in this. So, so everything what Krishna has to do, he has done. And it is some time since he has come from Dwaraka. Now, he has spent some time here. So, at that point in time, the news spread in Dwaraka that Mahabharata war is over, but Krishna is not coming back to Dwaraka. Krishna is not coming back to Dwaraka. Why Krishna is not coming? So, naturally, a lot of speculation started in Dwaraka. You have to remember, Krishna has got a lot of prarabdham as well. 16,108 wives and 10 children from each of them, 10 boys and a girl from each one of those wives, and he had got grandchildren and they have their wives. So you can imagine such a large family Krishna had, and he has not come back to see the family members. So naturally in Dwaraka there was a lot of speculation that why is Krishna's not returning. So, one incident they started talking about was Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was killed in the war, and people started saying, if Krishna wanted to protect Abhimanyu, he could have done that. Why didn't he do that? This topic came up in Dwaraka. Everybody started talking about it. So, it is possible that after the Mahabharata war was over, and when Krishna comes back to Dwaraka, it is possible that Dwaraka, when he comes back to Dwaraka, Devaki Devi may ask Krishna that why did you not protect Abhimanyu in the battlefield? After all, so it is Abhimanyu, Krishna could have protected if he wanted. And if she asked that question, what can Krishna answer if Devaki asked that question? If Devaki Devi and Vasudev is feeling bad about that Abhimanyu was not protected by Krishna, and if that is causing some uneasiness in their mind, in course of time they will become adjusted to that. So some people are saying that Krishna is delaying the return, thinking that over a period of time Devaki and Vasudev will cool down about it, and then he can come back, because there was no other answer he could give it to that. So, in Dwaraka, that what happened was, Vasudeva and Devaki called Satyaki and Uddhava and told them that they should go to Hastinapur and ask Krishna to come back. And Vasudeva and Devaki specifically mentioned to Uddhava and Satyaki that when you see Krishna, tell him that we are not any more upset about it, what happened with Abhimanyu. What happened with Abhimanyu? So, and we are not any more distressed over that. Only thing is we want Krishna to come back as soon as possible. In this way, the message went there. All these things are Krishna's maneuvering with people. So here, Krishna has started the journey. And at that time, Krishna has to say farewell to everyone who are present there. So, to whom should Krishna say farewell to? So, went to Kundi Devi first. And says to Kundi Devi, that first thought that after all, is father's sister, Kundi Devi, isn't it? So, went to Kundi Devi. You can imagine Kundi Devi's situation. Kundi Devi's situation is interesting. Kunti Devi has been in the forest for many, many years with these five boys. Five Pandava boys. Kunti Devi was in the forest. They used to sleep on huge rocks. That's where they slept at night. Used to eat the fruits that was available in the forest when they were thrown away from the palace. And they had to go away, isn't it? So, and this Kunti Devi is the mother of five great heroes. Isn't it? Logamsha Sambhavam, they call it. That means they are the incarnations of the Logapalas. Five incarnations, isn't it? So, and now after the Mahabharata war was over, and Krishna has installed Yudhishthira as in the throne as the emperor of the planet, and they have been put in the highest position from where they were in the forest, the life they were leading there. And it is after that, Krishna is leaving now. Krishna is leaving now. So, Bhaktanam Manavardhana. There is a statement about Krishna. You can see that Krishna's compassion, that so as soon as Krishna came there to see Kunti Devi, Kunti Devi got up from there. And imagine that situation when Krishna coming to see Kunti Devi. So, Kunti Devi says to Krishna, first time in her life, let me pay my obeisances to you. Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna. Krishna smiled when Kunti Devi is seeing the Kunti Devi's mood. So she asked, Krishna asked Kunti Devi, what's special today? Quite unusual thing. Never used to happen like this before. And he says to him that as far as Kunti Devi is concerned, Krishna and Arjuna are equal for Kunti Devi, isn't it? Because Kunti Devi used to think about Krishna and Arjuna as her sons by age and by the relationships. So, first time in Kunti Devi's life, Kunti Devi saying to Krishna, let me pay my obeisances to you. Why have you started like this? Krishna asked the question. So, it was at that time, she has just seen him, suddenly Uttara Devi came there running. And that is when she said those verses. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade anyam tvadvayam pasyel yatramrutyu parasparam avidravadi mamisha sharastattaya so vibho kamam dahadumam nadha mame garbho nipatyadam. These two verses. Uttaradevi came running there and started saying these two verses, and when she came, she was in great trouble, great distress, isn't it? So, only when after this has happened in between, when he came to see Kunti Devi, Krishna says to Uttara Devi, that you go and rest, everything will be okay. All these things have happened in between. And it is at that time Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna that I agree that you are my brother's son. Before she came to see Kunti Devi, Krishna came to see Kunti Devi, this incident with Uttara Devi has happened. Uttara came there and Uttara Devi told Krishna what is happening to her. Krishna just told her, you go and rest. Nothing else. You just go and rest, everything will be okay. Pacified her and sent her away, and then suddenly met Kunti Devi there and was talking to Kunti Devi. So, Krishna's question was, you are my brother's son. Krishna is Kunti Devi's brother's son, Vasudeva's son. But Kunti Devi says, you are not only my brother's son, you are the Supreme Lord. First time Kunti Devi said this to Krishna. So why did this thought didn't come to her before? Only now this has happened. So Krishna asked that question, why do you say that now? Before you never thought that I am the Supreme Lord or anything. So at that time Kunti Devi's answer is very interesting in the Kunti Stuti. That's what you find there. Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna, Tadha paramahamsanam muninam amalalpanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema histriya. If you look at that verse, 20, in the 8th chapter, 20th verse. Tadha paramahamsanam, Kunti Devi's answer to that. Tadha paramahamsanam muninam amalalpanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema histriya. So, rishis who have gone to the forest and performed penances for many, many years in the forest, they cannot understand you. They cannot understand you. You are telling me, why you are asking, telling me that I am the Supreme Lord? That's what Krishna asked the question, isn't it? Krishna's question was, why you are calling me as the Supreme Lord now? Up to this now you never behaved like that. You have always treated me as your brother's son. And I have reciprocated in the same way. Now suddenly why this change in approach? Kunti Devi is saying, rishis goes to the forest, for many, many years they perform penances there to understand Krishna, to understand Krishna, and they cannot understand him. So why you find fault with me? I am just a woman, he says. Katham pashema histriya. What intelligence do I have to understand? Great rishis were very competent spiritually, such a good control of mind and senses, body, everything, and who are advanced in knowledge and realization. They go to the forest, perform penances, austerities to understand Krishna, and they don't understand him. I am an ordinary woman in this world, and if I have not understood you before, should you take that as my fault? Kunti Devi's answer to Krishna. Very logical, isn't it? Kunti Devi saying to Krishna that I didn't know who you were before, but now I know who you are. Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalalpanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashema histriya. What intelligence do I have to understand who you are? When such rishis and yogis who go to the forest and perform penances for many, many years, they are also not able to understand you. If they can't understand you, how did you expect me, an ordinary woman in this world, to understand who you are? Kunti Devi's answer to that question. So, right at this moment in time, I feel that you are the Supreme Lord. And therefore, let me pay my obeisances. Saying this, Kunti Devi paid first time obeisances to Krishna. So, Krishna is asking him, Krishna is asking Kunti Devi, do you want to see me as the Supreme Lord? Or you want to see me as your brother's son? Krishna's way of teasing Kunti Devi. Krishna is saying to Kunti Devi, do you want to see me as your brother's son? Or you want to see me as a Supreme Lord? So, at that time, Kunti Devi got confused. She didn't know what to say. Very difficult question, isn't it? Suppose Krishna comes in front of you and says to you like this, do you want to see me as the Supreme Lord? Say, let me think about it. Kunti Devi says, let me think about it. So, when I think that you are the son of my brother, it has one taste, one relationship from that. And when I think of you as the Supreme Lord, there is another relationship, two different relationships. And Kunti Devi has tasted both relationships. She has tasted. And she is saying here that to Krishna, the thing what I have spoken to you before, I am taking it back. I am not sticking to that, he says. I don't want to see you as the Supreme Lord. I want to see you as my brother's son. Kunti Devi's attachment. Because if I start seeing you as the Supreme Lord, all I can do is to stay far away from you with folded hands and pay my obeisances to you. But when I start seeing you as my brother's son, as my brother's son, that I can hold you. And I can keep you on my lap, and the happiness that I come from that is even higher than the Brahmanandam, from realization from Brahman. So you can see here that Krishna's presence in this world, that the main difficulty is we are not having any relationship with Krishna. That not that Krishna is absent in this world. Krishna is present in this world, but the reason why we are not able to come out of this material existence is purely due to lack of a relationship with Krishna. That connection, the relationship, there is no relationship. We are always looking at Krishna as the Supreme Lord and far away standing there paying obeisances to Him, but unable to connect with Krishna. So Vedanta Sutram says, Sarvakhalidam Brahmam. Everything is Brahmam. So there is no place where Krishna is not present, but why are we not getting liberated? The reason is that we have no relationship with Krishna. That is the reason. So therefore Kunti Devi says to Krishna that I am more than happy to see you as my brother's son, and saying that, Kunti Devi glorified Krishna in another way. And in that glorification, Kunti Devi complained also a lot, all her problems of life. Kunti Devi said everything. And then, Krishna says, I'm going back to Dwaraka now, and do I have to do anything for you before I go? Kunti Devi, Krishna asked this question. Kunti Devi replied, what else do you have to do for me now? Where was I one time living in the forest with my 5 children, small children, and we had no place to live. We were sleeping on the rocks there in the forest. You have brought us and installed in the throne, and yes, Yudhishthira is the emperor of the whole planet. Now what else do I have to ask you for? So Kunti Devi even mentioned to Krishna, what you have done to us, have you done this to anybody else in before? In such a way, Kunti Devi answered that question. Krishna asked to Kunti Devi, is that not you are just flattering me? Krishna's answer to Kunti Devi, no. Because normally you can see that in our life, the important people for anyone's life is normally the parents, father and the mother, isn't it? Devaki and Vasudev, grace or compassion or love, what Krishna has shown to Devaki and Vasudev, lot more than that Krishna has shown to Kunti Devi. You can see that. If you read Mahabharata, you will see that Vasudev and Devaki, they also being parents of Krishna, Krishna has shown a lot of attachment to them. But a lot more than that Krishna has shown to Kunti Devi. So, what is the doubt about that? He says here that Devaki's 6 children died, who were born before Krishna. If Krishna wanted to protect them, he could have done that. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. How do we know that he can protect them? Because his spiritual master's son, who died and gone, Krishna went and brought him back in the same way. So anything, if Krishna wants to do it, he could have done that. And even Yamadharma Raja, Krishna has put him on the spot and kept him there, kept him under tight control. Krishna wants to do that, he could do that. And those children, Krishna didn't bring them back. And because of that, Vasudeva and Devaki had suffered when those 6 children were killed by Kamsa. Isn't it? Look at my situation, says Kunti Devi. I was just like a bunch of sheep who are caught up in a pack of wolves. That was my situation. Referring to the Kauravas, who were all the way out to give them trouble and kill them. And these 5 little boys, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, and Kunti Devi were in the middle of that. And and lot of distress has come to us. But from all that distress, you have protected us. We survived through all that. They themselves did not know how that all that happened. That therefore there is nothing more to be done for us, saying that Kunti Devi is getting into serious business. In the prayers, if you look, you will see. Up to this, what has happened between Kunti Devi and Krishna? is all about the family welfare, business, all what has happened. Now, one thing, Kunti Devi says to Krishna, you have to do one thing for me. I wanted to say this before, but so Krishna asked him, what is that? That whatever you want, you can tell me. Krishna says to Kunti Devi, you are going back to Dwaraka, Kunti Devi says. And my children, they are all established now as big personalities in this world. As Yudhishthira is the emperor, and they rule the planet from Hastinapur. They were in a very big position in this world. So even Indra hasn't got this position like Yudhishthira has got. So the reason they got there is because of you, because of Krishna, isn't it? The possibility is that once you leave this place and go away, my children may forget about you. That can happen. It happens to everybody, isn't it? So that should not happen. Therefore, he says, Vipada sanduna shashwal tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhavadarshanam. You can see that verse 25 in the 8th chapter, 25. Vipada sanduna shashwal tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhavadarshanam. Says to, Kunti Devi says, what Krishna has given us before in plenty, now Krishna is hesitating to give it to us. That thing you have to give us now. Kunti Devi says like this to Krishna, what you used to give us before in plenty, and what you don't want to give us anymore now, you give us, please keep giving it to us in plenty. Krishna asked, what is that? He says, dangers in life. Continuously danger in life. And now and then, there should be danger in life. Because normally nobody pray like this, isn't it? We all pray there should be no danger in life. Everything should go through smoothly. But here, Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna, continuously give some dangerous situations in life. Because Kunti Devi has tasted what dangers in life means, that very well throughout her life up to this point, only now in her life first time, she had some peace inside. Right from the day Pandu died, the problems have started in the family. The Dhritarashtra and others wanted to completely destroy her and the children. And one after the other, all the incidents, if you look into the Mahabharata, you will see, it is a series of calamities in her life. And a woman who had no husband, 5 small children, and the whole the administration has turned against her and decided to wipe her out with the children from this world. This was her situation. So, and that Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna now, that continuously I should experience dangers here, because Kunti Devi says here, I am not praying for the ordinary dangers in life. What is that? Bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhavadarshanam. Then, whatever that danger comes, when that danger comes, Krishna will come. It should be such danger that should happen to me. That's how Kunti Devi said. Such, not that small little dangers. Dangers in such a way that in past, whenever there was serious trouble, Krishna appeared there on the scene and protected her. Similar situation should happen again. And if you can see that all the dangers what Pandavas had, there is a speciality with that. That every time when Pandavas were going to get into trouble, before that Krishna will come and there will be protection for Pandavas. Throughout Pandavas' life, if you look, you will see there that Krishna comes over and takes care of the situation and makes sure that the danger does not cause any problem for the Pandavas. So, that is how with the devotees. When devotees are in danger, before the danger comes, Krishna will make sure that danger does not cause any disturbances in their life. And example is there in the Pandavas case, and that danger's name is called Durvasav. When Durvasav came to see Pandavas in the forest, that it was deliberately planned by Duryodhana. Duryodhana was behind it. He sent Durvasa there, and with not only alone with 10,000 disciples, and they were expected to be fed and cared for in the forest. So when they got there, the danger, which is Durvasa, and the disciples, they all went to bathe in the river, and the intention was that they should come back and get and Kunti Devi should get cursed by them. But before they came back, Krishna arrived there on the spot, and not only that, he protected the Pandavas and Draupadi, which we all know the story in the Mahabharata, isn't it? How they were all fed, and before they could come from the river after bathing, they all felt so full that they couldn't expect any feast from Yudhishthira and Kunti Devi. The moment Krishna has taken the leaf or spinach from Draupadi's Akshaya Patram or the pot, the same moment Durvasa Maharshi and his disciples felt as though they had a feast. They never felt the necessity to come back here. So this is important point here, that if you have taken to Krishna's shelter properly, that whatever may be the calamity that is coming in life, and even if it is extreme danger, even in those situations, that protection is there from Krishna's side. That we have to understand and accept it. Because so these incidents in the Mahabharata is spoken as well as in the Bhagavatam, is to point out to us as devotees who are taking as Krishna shelter to whatever extent we have. So, the danger, so many dangers that has to happen in life may be avoided at some stage if Krishna decides to protect that devotee. So, that is what he is saying there, that bhavato darshanam yatsyal apunar bhava darshanam. That Krishna's protection is that. What does that mean? What Kunti Devi is saying here? Should we also ask Krishna to give danger in that way, like Kunti Devi has asked to Krishna? If that is not what it is saying there, then if Krishna is favorable, or if somebody is engaged in Krishna's service, or always surrendered to Krishna and living in this world, even if a danger comes in life, that danger will turn out to be a blessing. Danger can turn out to be a blessing to that person. And that is what he is saying here. Danger may not go, that we have to remember. Danger may not go away. That is important. Danger is not going to go away, but that danger will turn out to be a fortune for the devotee. How? Because it is from that danger Kunti Devi and the Pandavas realized that their attachment to Krishna has increased considerably. Is it not? Because being protected by Krishna. So, even in very distressful conditions, for a devotee, that even distress will come. Distress will come in life. They are not going to go away. But that distress will eventually will turn out to be a happy situation. Like in the case of Kunti Devi and the Pandavas. That is the message here. Message here. That if we have taken completely Krishna's shelter, even if distress comes in life, at some point in time, that experience of distress in life will turn out to be a pleasant thing. Because what happened to Kunti Devi, these little experiences in life, one after the other, made Kunti Devi and the Pandavas to become more and more dependent on Krishna, instead of going away from Krishna. This is the lesson to learn. That Kunti Devi and the Pandavas is showing to us, all through their life they had distress one after the other. All along they were getting protected by Krishna. The indication to us is that these situations, what happened in their life, eventually it all of them, all of those situations developed, turned out to be a happy situation for Kunti Devi and the Pandavas, because their bhakti and attachment to Krishna has increased considerably by now, by this incident. And they give the example like this, that on a hot day, when it's very, very hot, you go and bathe in a Ganga river. Ganga river is very cool because it's coming from the Himalaya mountains, isn't it? And you feel released from the heat. But when they set fire to Anjaneya Swami's tail in Sri Lanka, when he went there to set fire to Lanka, Anjaneya Swami is thinking, Na karodijame divyam, that the whole tail is burning, but he is feeling very cold in the tail. So, this example is shown there, that not only he was not feeling the heat, he was feeling cold as well with the fire. What was the reason? Mangalabhimukhasya. Sita Devi blessed Anjaneya Swami that Shito Bhavati Hanumata. That so many things, if you look at Sita Devi's prayers there, Sita Devi says, if I have been very chaste in my life as a wife of Ramachandra, yadyasti parishishrosha, if I executed my service to Ramachandra properly, Shito Bhava Hanumata, that let Hanuman, Anjaneya Swami, don't feel the heat of the fire that was set on his tail. So, in this way, that devotees have seen, and Sita's prayers has caused this situation that Hanuman didn't feel the heat on the tail. So, the tail is burning with the fire, because it was set on fire by the Rakshasas there. And Ravana has ordered that he should be set fire. And holding that fire, Hanuman is traveling all over Lanka and setting fire to the whole place. So, there, you will see this in the Bhagavatam again and again. Brahmastuti, if you look, you will see there, Lord Brahma saying the same thing to Krishna. Taval karagraham graham yaval Krishna nate janaha. Then, if you are in the prison or you are in material existence, if you look into the chapter 14, I think, that this problem is in the, I think it is in the Brahmastuti, he says there, Yaval karagraham graham naval Krishna nate janaha. That is how he concludes those prayers. That 14th chapter. That, if you look at the verse 36. Travad ragadaya stena staval karagraham graham tavan mohongri nikato yaval Krishna nate janaha. This material existence is a misery and suffering as long as you have not taken Krishna shelter. Krishna shelter means Krishna nate janaha, till you become Krishna's devotee. Tavad ragadaya stena staval karagraham graham tavan moho angri nikato yaval Krishna nate jana. 36 verse in the 14th chapter. So, that is the same thing here also. He is saying to us that this surrender to Krishna, that whatever distress is there in life or dangers are there, once you have become Krishna's person, Krishna nate janaha, if you have become Krishna's devotee, all of them will turn out eventually to be for the ultimately beneficial benefit, whatever it may be. Whatever danger or troubles comes in life, eventually for that jiva, it will turn out to be for its benefit. Karangra nigadam yaval Krishna nate janaha. Only till you become a devotee that these problems exist. Problems of material life, material miseries. Whatever prarabdham has to happen will happen. That's not going to go away. But what it is you will see that ultimately it will be auspicious for the person who has gone through that. So that is why it says here. The essence is that serving Krishna and becoming devotee is more important than anything else. So you can see here that whichever way how to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very difficult to say that. Because whether you look it through bhakti side of it, the devotional side as a literature, poetry, whatever it may be, Srimad Bhagavatam has so many things to say to this world. So when Kunti Devi said that, Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled. Why did he smile? Krishna smiled that after going through all these experiences in life, still is this the way to pray? Krishna is asking. We need not laugh. You know why? We also do the same thing. When will we ask Krishna what actually we have to ask him? We won't ask. Up to the last minute, we will keep on asking to adjust our material life here. Isn't it? So Krishna is smiling because of that. That Kunti Devi has gone through enough experience in life. Is it not? So many problems, so many difficulties and distress has come in life. And Krishna has protected her in all these situations. And even now, Krishna is saying to Kunti Devi, you still have you gone only that far. That you haven't gone further from that. In other words, to ask Krishna something, anything relationship with our material life, or material happiness here, is ultimately considered to be a blunder. Isn't it? It's just like asking a very, very wealthy person to go and ask him for 10 pounds. That's how it is. Is it not? Someone who can offer you the eternal happiness, freedom from this total misery of material life, you're going and asking him for something which is not worthwhile asking. This little, little happiness in this world, like what normally most of the people, hundreds and thousands of people, millions of people in this world, go to the temple to ask for this little benefits in this world. So that is why Kunti Krishna smiled seeing this. Even after going through all this life, you only got that far. This was Krishna's question to Kunti Devi. It is then that it clicked to Kunti Devi's head that I haven't asked the right thing what I should be asking. First of all, she spoke about all the family problems. Then she spoke about all the distress what she went through. Then she again said that I should keep getting the distress so that you can come and protect me at that time. That is all on the material level, isn't it? This distress, dangers and protection and all is on the material bodily level. What else is there? More than that. So if you analyze Kunti Sri properly, you will see there, Kunti Devi, Krishna has brought Kunti Devi to that point and then is smiling at Kunti Devi, seeing Kunti Devi's questions after that. So he says to him, the question is like this, oh, all my children should be okay, they should be happy in life. Just like a mother, ordinary mother will ask the same questions. That is why Krishna smiled. You're still talking about your children, attachment, isn't it? And that clicked into Kunti Devi's head. Kunti Devi came to her senses now and started saying there. So then Kunti Devi says to Krishna, so far what I have said till now is just out of duty I have done that. Because a mother has naturally a feeling for the children, attachment to the children. Therefore, I have done that duty so far. Kunti Devi changed the tone. Kunti Devi says to him, but after Pandu died, her husband died, that I have lived in this world only to fulfill that responsibility of looking after the children. Therefore I live. Because as you remember, Mahabharatam, you will see there, when Pandu died, Kunti Devi normally would have decided to give up her body as well. But Kunti Devi and Madri, they had a relationship in such a way that Kunti Devi decided to stay and look after the children. And therefore Kunti Devi decided to stay back in this world. Otherwise, with Pandu's death, Kunti could have left this world as well. So instead, so Kunti Devi says to her, I have something to say to you now personally. Kunti Devi says, personally I have something to say to you. Up to now, whatever I have spoken is on behalf of the family and on behalf of so many other things. But that is what that prayer is. That you can see there, that that the famous prayers in the Bhagavatam, that in the verse number, if you look, you will see there, that is the verse number 41. अथ विश्वेश विश्वाल्पन विश्वमूर्ते स्वकेशु मे स्नेहभाषमिमं चिन्धि दृढं पाण्डुषु वृष्णिषु. दैट इज प्रेयर्स, दैट इज प्रेयर्स, दैट इज द प्रॉपर प्रेयर. टू कम टू दिस पॉइंट, हाउ लॉन्ग कुंदी देवी टुक टू दिस अंडरस्टैंडिंग दैट शी वॉज, although so many instances Krishna has protected her and given her all support, help, everything, Krishna is asking Kunti Devi, is this where you are still? Still praying for the family, praying for the children, this, that. Kunti Devi says, well, I have done that out of my duty to them. That's all. Nothing more than that. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpan Vishwamurte Sokeshumi Sneha Bhashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishum. That my children, Kunti Devi says there, that Pandavas, that is one bondage I have. That is where I am tied to. This attachment to my own children. What is that? Attachment to home, family, isn't it? Women have normally two bonds. One, the family they were born, and the next one where they got married to. In two places they get tied, isn't it? So that is what he is saying, she is saying here. Snehavasha mimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. Dridam pandushu vishnishu. And that knot, what has been tied in two places, another person cannot cut it off easily. And I have gone through this, Kunti Devi says. Everything what I had to experience, I have experienced that, and I have done what I have to do in my life. But from now on, I want to be free from that knots. From that knots. From now on, I should not think like this. My family, my home, my children, this thing has to go away from me. Me and mine. So that is what. So, and then she says to him, just like the Ganga river, how it flows to the ocean by smashing away everything that comes on the way and flow freely to the ocean. Similarly, that whether it is rainy season or summer season, similarly, the way Ganga flows like that, similarly, my mind also flows towards you without any restrictions, without any blocks on the way. And that was the Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna. You will see there that Toyi me ananya vishaya. Next verse. That is the verse number 42. Toyi me ananya vishaya madir madhubade asakral reti udvahata dagdham genge vaukha umudanyvadi. Genge vaukha umudanyvadi. In a similar way, let my thoughts flow towards you. In other words, proper Krishna consciousness. That up to this time, everything what happened was all family, family problems, family issues, this, that and the other. And many of us, we don't even get this far. Even before that, we get bowled over, get thrown away from there. At least Gungundi Devi got this far. If you look at average man's life, you will see this happening. There are a lot of distress and problems comes by that initially everyone takes to Krishna consciousness. But the testing field is life. In our real life, how much we can survive through that with Krishna consciousness, is it not? But after a few years, you start, problems comes one after the other, everything from family, from society, from everywhere, your own health. At that point, you start realizing that this Krishna consciousness is not going to help me. I have to find my own way in this world. Once that thought comes, that means you are gone from the field of Krishna consciousness. It's difficult anymore. So surrender has to happen gradually, and it has to happen in such a way that like Kunti Devi came to this point of surrender. That up to this point she is saying that I have spoken about things in relationship with the family, home, children, this, that and the other. But let me tell you, she says to Krishna, I have one, my own personal thing, something to say. which is more important than everything what I have asked for. So you can see Kunti Stuti's beauty. It's an average devotee's life in this world. Is it not? Comes to, takes to Krishna consciousness, and then a lot of problems comes in life, one after the other. When more and more problems comes, we become completely shaken by the situation. And every time you start realizing that Krishna is too far to find any shelter in Him, and gradually something happens in life, you feel that there is no shelter in Krishna, and you move away from the Krishna consciousness. That can happen to many people. That is why here these lessons in the Bhagavadam has to be understood this way, in relationship with our own life. It's not something that happened 5,000 years ago, oh, it's a story, I have studied all the verses in the Kunti Stuti. What is the use? If it is not helping you in your own life to analyze it from the viewpoint, wow, Kunti Devi survived through that situation. That is teachings of Kyun Kunti. Kunti Devi is teaching us as a devotee that this is how I passed through. This was my state of life, how I got through my life in this way. And at the last minute, I have asked Krishna what I have to ask Him. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam with all these personalities and put them in front of us to show to us this is how life will be. Life is not going to be easy. Holding on to dharmam, holding on to Krishna consciousness, bhakti, cultivating bhakti, and to remain surrendered in spite of all the problems of material life and the prarabdham, that requires Krishna's grace. So Kunti Devi taking shelter has helped her to remain in that state. That is what Bhagavatam is pointing out to us. So when Krishna said all these things, Kunti Devi, when she spoke all these things, that Kunti Devi, Kunti Devi says to her, Ganga river's flow and the mind. She is comparing that. The mind should flow towards Krishna, just like Ganga river flows to the ocean under all circumstances. That Kunti Devi's mind you have to read at this point in time. What is going through her mind? And only when you start realizing the distress what she is carrying inside her heart, only then you can appreciate Kunti Devi's prayers, isn't it? So, what does Krishna do at that time? You will see there, the 44th verse. When all this happened, Kunti Devi spoken all these things. Krishna is saying, Prathayetham kalapadai, that is the 44th verse. Parinuda khilo daya, mandam jahasavai kuntho, Mohayan Nivamayaya. Mandam Jahasa Vaikuntham. Krishna smiled, hearing all these prayers from Kunti Devi. So, Krishna's smile is difficult to understand. It's very, very difficult to understand, Krishna's smile. In the Bhagavatam itself, many places, you will see Krishna has smiled. And everywhere when Krishna has smiled, it has different meaning. Where Krishna has smiled. So, when Krishna smiled like this, Kunti Devi also smiled. When Krishna smiled, Kunti Devi also smiled. So, you can see in several instances when Krishna smiled. When Arjuna became a sannyasi, and then he wanted to marry Subhadra, isn't it? Arrived in Dwaraka. So Balaram went and wanted to see this sannyasi. Balaram was very impressed by this sannyasi. And he wanted to bring the sannyasi home and keep him at home and look after him. And Balaram said that we never get an opportunity to serve a sannyasi like this. And when Balaram said all this, Krishna smiled. So what does that mean? What that smile means? Isn't it? So, Balaram and pulls Krishna with him to go and see the sannyasi. Sannyasi is sitting underneath a tree in Dwaraka. And Krishna says, I have no faith in any of these sannyasis. They are all bogus, he said. They are all cheaters and I can't trust any one of them, he says. Balaram got angry with Krishna. And not only got angry with him, that he said that, Balaram says to Krishna, I'm telling you that you are very offensive to these sannyasis. You're very, very offensive to sannyasis. Balaram used the same technique what's used these days, isn't it? You frighten people. Tell them that you are so offensive, therefore you are suffering in life. This is a normal slogan everywhere. So same thing Balaram did to Krishna. So anyway, Krishna said, if you are my elder brother, if you are telling me, wanting me to come, I'll come with you. I have no problem, he said. So he goes there, both of them goes there. Balaram pays his full dandavat to the sannyasi, touches his feet and puts it on his head. Krishna is standing behind and smiling at him, to Arjuna. Arjuna is sitting there, isn't he? The whole drama is going on between... Krishna does exactly the same thing what Balaram has done. Paid obeisances to Arjuna, touched his feet, because if the truth comes out, Balaram will get so upset that he will blast the whole place down. So knowing very well, at that time Krishna smiled. Sri Brahmarshi says there in the Bhagavatam, sometimes Krishna smiles, you really don't know what is going on inside with him. It's very difficult to say. So in different instances in the Bhagavatam, as well as in the Mahabharatam, what it says here, Mandam Jahasa Vaikuntham. Vaikuntha is Krishna. When Krishna smiles, you really don't know what is going through that inside. Hasam. Hasam is that smile, isn't it? In different times, it means different things. So that capacity Krishna has. At different times he will smile, but you will never be able to figure out what he is smiling about. So when Kunti Devi spoke all these things, Krishna smiled. And Kunti Devi started thinking, why is he smiling? What's he smiling about? So anyway, Krishna smiled, Kunti Devi also smiled along with that. And then Krishna said farewell, goodbye to her, and told her that I'll come now and then, I'll come and visit you. And if there is anything you want me to do, let me know in Dwaraka. And saying all this, bid farewell and left the place. It is at that time Krishna remembered one thing, that somewhere else Bhishma is lying there. And Krishna knew that he was expecting him to come to see him. Bhishma was expecting Krishna to come and see him. And he is preparing himself to go back to Vaikuntha to get liberated. So, but before he left, he wanted to leave his body while seeing Krishna. This was in his mind. So that is why Krishna is going now to see Bhishma, to bless Bhishma on his departure. That is in the next chapter. So you will see that here. Yudhishthiraya Bhishmena Sarvadharma Nirupanam Krishna Studischa Bhuktischa Navamedasya Varnyate. Sridharajari Swamiji says there that Yudhishthiraya Bhishmena Sarvadharma Nirupanam Krishna Studischa Muktischa Navamedasya Varnyate. That along with Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna decided to go towards Bhishma. And according to Krishna's plan, Bhishma decided to instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj about whole dharma. Mahabharatam, there's a many chapters, is these instructions from Bhishma to Yudhishthira. Isn't it? And finally, Bhishma prays to Krishna to give bhakti to him and gives up his body. All that is discussed in the 9th chapter, which we will start in a few minutes.
Cheto darpanamarjanam bhaumaha davagninarvavanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam mrudipada purnam hradasvadanam sarvatna suvanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari mahuda nija sarva shakti tatrapida nimidas paranena kalam Edadrishitava Kriba Bhagavan Mamami Durdeva Midrishami Hajani Nanuragaham Pranarabi Shuni Jena Tadorabi Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shuri Bhavadad Bhaktirahi Dugitvai Ayinanda Tanyo Jagingaram Padidamam Shami Bhavambudo कृपया तव पाद पंकज स्थित धूली सदृशं विचिन्तया नयनं गलदशुधारया पदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकर्निजितं गदावभूतवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनामर्महदां तरोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधादुलम्बनो मल्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापराम्
युधिष्ठिराय भीष्मेण सर्वधर्मनिरूपणम् कृष्णस्तुतिश्च भक्तिश्च नवमे तस्य वर्ण्यते. कृष्ण राइज देयर टू सी युधिष्ठिर अलोंग विथ युधिष्ठिर एंड द पांडवस कम्स टू सी भीष्म एंड भीष्म इंस्ट्रक्ट्स धर्मपुत्र युधिष्ठिर महाराज एंड अदर्स अबाउट द वेरियस धर्मम व्हाट इज वर्णाश्रम धर्मम and many others. And Krishna has, through Bhishma, instructed Yudhishthira. That whole problem what Yudhishthira had is all discussed in this chapter. And you will find there that these instructions Krishna has taken very seriously, what Bhishma has instructed Yudhishthira. That is why in Ekadasha Skandam you will see that Varnashrama Dharmam, when issue came up, Krishna told Uddhava, what Bhishma has instructed Yudhishthira, I will repeat that here. And that is how Krishna talks about Varnashrama Dharma in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the canto. Naomo Dhyayaha Suta Vacha Itibida Prajadrohal Sarvadharma Vivilsaya Tado Vinashanam Pragadhyatta Deva Pratopadal तदा दे ब्रादर सर्वे सदस्वै स्वर्ण भूषिदेहि अन्वगच्छन्द्रधर विप्रा व्यास धौम्यादयस्तदा भगवान विप्रशे रथेन सदनंजय सदयर विरोचन नृप कुबेर विवगुह्यगै दृष्ट्वा निवेदितं भूमौ दिव्यश्चिद विमामरं प्रणेम पांडवा भीष्मं सानुगा सहचक्रिणा तद ब्रह्मर्षय सर्वे देवर्षयश्च सत्तमा राजर्षयश्च सत्रा असन्द्रष्टं भरतभुङ्गवम् पर्वतो नारदो धौम्यो भगवान् भादरायण बृहदशो भरद्वाज सशिष्यो रेणुका सुधा वसिष्ठ इंद्र प्रमद स्त्रिदो गृह समदोषिदा कुक्षीवान् गदमोत्रश्च कौशिको सुदर्शन अन्ये जमनयो ब्रह्मन् ब्रह्मरादादयो मला शिशेरुभेद आजन्मो कशिवाङ्गिरसादय तान् समेधान् महाभगान् उपलभ्य वसूत्तमा पूजयामास धर्मज्ञो देशकाल विभागविल् कृष्णं च तल् प्रभावज्ञम् आसीनं जगदीश्वरम् हृदिस्थं पूजयामास माययोपात्त विग्रहम् पाण्डुपुत्रानुपासीनन् प्रश्रय प्रेम सङ्गान् अभ्याचष्टानुरागाश्रै सैरन्ध्री भूतेन चक्षुषाम् अहो कष्टम् अहो अन्यायम् यद्यूयम् धर्मनन्दन जीवितम् नार्हत क्लिष्टम् विप्र धर्म अच्युताश्रयाः संस्थिते अधिरते पाण्डवपृथा बाल प्रजावधु युष्मल्कृते बहून् क्लेशान् प्राप्ता तोकवती मुहुः सर्वं कालकृतं मन्ये भवतां जयदप्रियं सबालो यद्वशे लोके वायुवरिवखनावलि यत्र धर्मसुतो राजा गदावाणिर्भृगोदरा कृष्णो स्त्रीकाण्डिवं चावं सुहृत्कृष्णस्ततो विपल् न ह्यसर्हिद्राजन् पुमान् वेदविदिल्सितं यद्विज्ञासया युक्ता मुह्यन्ति कवयोऽपिः तस्मादिदं दैवतन्त्रं व्यवस्य भरतर्षभा तस्यानुविहितुमनाथ नाथा पाहि प्रजा प्रभो एष वै भगवान् साक्षात् आद्यो नारायण पुमान् मोहयन्मायालोकं गूढश्चरति वृष्णिषु अस्यानुभावं भगवान् वेदगुह्यतमं शिव देवर्षिर्नारद साक्षात् भगवान् कपिलौ नृप यं मन्यसे माधुलेयं प्रियं मित्रं सुहृत्तमम् अकरवसजीवं भूतं सौहृदाधदसारथिम् सर्वात्मना समदृशो अद्वयस्य अनहंकृते तल्कृतं अधिवैषम्यं निरवध्यस्य न क्वचिल् तदाप्येकान्त भक्तेषु पश्य भूवानुगम्भीरम् यन्मे स्त्यज साक्षात् कृष्णो दर्शनमागदा भक्तावेशमनो यस्मिन् वाचयन् नामकीर्तयन् त्यजन् कलेबरं योगी मुच्यते कामकर्मभि स देवदेवो भगवन् प्रतीक्षतां कलेबरं यावदिदं हिनोम्यहं प्रसन्नः सारुणलोचनोल्लसल् मुखाम्बुजोध्यानपद चतुर्भुजाः श्रीसूत उवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदाकर्ण्यं शयानं शरमञ्जरे अप्रचद्विदान् धर्मं ऋषीणां चानुशृणुताम् पुरुषस्वभावविहितान् यथा वर्णं यथाश्रमं वैराग्यरागोपाधिभ्याम् आम्नादोभयलक्षणान् दानधर्मान् राजधर्मान् मोक्षधर्मान् विभागशास्त्री धर्मान् भगवद्धर्मान् समासव्यासयोगदा
ധർമാർത്ഥകാമമോക്ഷാം ച സഹോപായാൻ യഥാമുനി നാനാഖ്യാനേതിഹാസേഷു വർണ്ണയാമാസ തത്വവിൽ ധർമ്മം പ്രവദതസ്യ സകാല പ്രത്യുപസ്ഥിത യോ യോഗിനാശ്ചന്ദമൃത്യുർവാഞ്ചിതസ്തു ഉത്തരായണ തദോവസമൃത്യഗിരസഹസ്രൈർമുക്തസംഗം മനമാദി പുരുഷേ കൃഷ്ണേ ലസൽപീതപടേ ചതുർഭുജേ പുരസ്ഥിതേ അമീലിക ദൃഗ്യധാരയൽ വിശുദ്ധയാ ധാരണയാ ഹദാശുഭം തദീക്ഷൈവാശുഗതായുധശ്രമം നിവൃത്ത സർവേന്ദ്രിയ വൃത്തിവിഭ്രമം സൃഷ്ടാവജന്യം വിസൃജൻ ജനാർദ്ദനം. ശ്രീഭീഷ്മ ഉവാച ഇതി മതിരുപകൽപിതാ വിദൃഷ്ണാ ഭഗവതി സാത്വതപുംഗവേ വിഭൂന്നി സുസുഖമുപഗതേ ക്വചിദ് ദിഹൃത്തിം പ്രകൃതിമുപേയുഷിയൽഭവ പ്രവാഹം ത്രിഭുവനഗമനം സമാനവർണം രവികര ഗൗരവരംബരം ദധാനേ ബഹുരളകുലാവൃതാനാബ്ജം വിജയസഖേരതിരസ്തുമേന വദ്യ യുധി തുരകരജോ വിധൂമ്ര വിശ്വക്കചലുദശ്രമവാരി അലങ്കൃതസേ മമ നിശിതശരീർ വിവിധ്യമാനം ത്വജി വിലസൽ കവചേസ്തു കൃഷ്ണ ആത്മാ സബരി സഖിവചോ നിശമ്യ മധ്യേ നിജപരയോർബലയോരഹം നിവേശ്യ സ്ഥിരവതി പരസൈനികായുരഷ്ണാം ഹൃതവതി പാർത്ഥ സഖേരതിർ മമാസ്തു വ്യവഹിത പ്രതനാമുഖം നിരീക്ഷ്യ സ്വചനവധാധിമുഖസ്യ ദോഷബുദ്ധ്യാം കുമതി മഹരദാൽപവിദ്യയായ ശരണരതി പരമസ്യ തസ്യമേസ്തു സ്വനിഗമം അപഹായമൽപ്രതിജ്ഞാമൃതമധികർത്തുമവപ്ലുതോ രഥസ്ഥ ധൃതചരണോഭ്യലയാഭയാചലൽ ഗുർഹരിരിവ ഹന്തുമിഭം ഗതോത്തരീയ ശിരവിശിഖദോമിശീർണദംശം ക്ഷതപരിപ്ലുതമാദദായി നോമേ പ്രസവം അഭിസസാരമധ്വദാർത്ഥം സഭവതു മേ ഭഗവാൻ ഗതിർമുകുന്ദ വിജയരഥ കുടുംബമാത്രദോത്രേ ഹൃദൃഹേ രശ്മിനശ്രിയേ ക്ഷണിയേ ഭഗവതി രതിരസ്തു മേ മൂർഷുർ യമിഹ നിരീക്ഷഹത ഗതാസ്വരൂപം ലളിതഗതിവിലാസവൽഗുഹാസം പ്രണയ നിരീക്ഷണ കൽപ്പിതോരുമാനം പ്രഥമനു കൃതവത്യമുന്മതാന്നം പ്രകൃതിമകൻ കിലയസ്യ ഗോപവധ്വാഹ മുനിഗണ നൃപവര്യ സങ്കുലാനം സദസിദ്ധിഷ്ഠിര രാജസൂയമേഷാം അർഹണമുപവേദമീക്ഷണീയോ മമദൃഷി ഗോചരമേഷ ആവിരാത്മാ തമിമഹമജം ശരീരഭാജാം ഹൃതിഹൃതി നിഷ്ഠിതമാത്മകൽപിതാനാം പ്രതിദൃഷമൈകദാർക്കമേകം സമതിഗതോസ്മി വിധൂതം ഭേദമോഹ. ശ്രീസൂത ഉവാച കൃഷ്ണേവം ഭഗവതി മനോവാദൃഷ്ടിവൃത്തിവി ആത്മന്യാത്മാനമാവേശ്യ സ്വന്തശ്വാസമുപാരമൽ സമ്പദ്യമാനമാജ്ഞായ ഭീഷ്മം ബ്രഹ്മണി നിഷ്കളേ സർവേ ഭൂഭൂസ്തേ തുഷ്ണിമയാം സീവദിനാഥേ തത്ര ദുന്ദുവയോ നേതുർദേവ മാനവവാദിതം ശശം സുസ്വാധവോ രാജ്ഞാം ഖാൽപേതു പുഷ്പവൃഷ്ടയാം തസ്യ നിർഹരണാദീനി സംവരേതസ്യ വാർഗവ യുധിഷ്ഠിരകാരേ ത്വ മുഹൂർത്തം ദുഃഖിതോ ഭവൽ തുഷ്ടുർമണയോ ഹൃഷ്ട കൃഷ്ണം തദ്ഗുഹ്യനാമപി തതസ്തേ കൃഷ്ണഹൃദയാ സ്വാശ്രമാൻ പ്രയയൂ പുനഃ തദോ ഈശിരോഗത്വ സഹ കൃഷ്ണോ ഗജാഹ്വയം പിതരം സാന്ത്വയാമാസ ഗാന്ധാരീം ച തപസ്വിനീം പിത്രാജാനുമതോ രാജാ വസുദേവാനുമോദിത ചകാരരാജ്യം ധർമ്മേണ പിതൃപൈതാമഹം വിഭോ. ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമ സ്കന്ദേ യുധിഷ്ഠിരരാജ്യപ്രളംബോ നാമ നാമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So Bhishma is lying there to leave his body and he was remembering Krishna and he is going to leave his body. Leaving his body means that we are talking about in a common man's language, isn't it? Practically what Bhishma is doing is he wants to prepare himself to go back to Vaikuntham, to go back to Vaikuntha planet. So it was at that time Bhishma felt that it would be nice to see Krishna before going from here. So you may ask the question, can he not see him when he get to Vaikuntha then? Why does he want to see him now? And there is a difference there. The difference is this. This Krishnavataram, in Krishna's appearance, what Krishna has shown here, that relationship may not exist in Vaikuntha. It does not exist in Vaikuntha. Because it is so special. This appearance, Krishna's appearance is so special. And Bhishma wanted to see Krishna in this particular form, what he has shown to him here in this world, and wanted to leave this body. This was Bhishma's special desire in the heart. And Krishna understood that. Krishna understood that. So, but it requires some reason to go there, isn't it? Krishna just cannot go to some place like that without any reason. So he had to create a reason for that. And that reason, what Krishna has created, is what is all spoken in that chapter. How Krishna created a reason for that. That Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, after the Mahabharata war, started feeling terribly miserable, unhappy about the war, It is all Krishna's prompting from within. That Yudhishthira is feeling unhappy. Why? Because so many people died in the war. I am responsible for that. Yudhishthira started thinking like this. I am responsible for what? And is that all that sinful reaction not going to affect me? Yudhishthira started thinking. At that time, Krishna spoke to Vedavyasa Maharshi and told him, Yudhishthira is elder brother to Krishna, isn't it? He's his elder brother. So he says to him, that talk to him and get this distress out of him, out of Yudhishthira. Krishna says to Vedavyasa Maharshi, tried his best and nothing happened. You'll see there he mentions there, if you look at that words, that nothing worked, he says. In the eighth chapter. Yeah, that's what he says here. Eighth chapter, if you look, the 50th verse. Naino yajna praja bartur dharma yudhe vadhodvisham idime nadu bhodhaya kalpade shasanam vaja. There's no point in instructing him. It's not working. Yudhishthira is arguing that you can say all these things to me, but I am responsible. If somebody starts taking responsibility, what can you do? You start taking it up like that. So, it's not right, because what is Vedavyasa Maharshi told him? Vedavyasa Maharshi told him that you are not responsible for this. He says there that the Natumi Naino Rajya Praja Bhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadhodyusham. It was a Dharma Yudham. Idime Nadu Bhodaya Kalpade Shasanam Vacha. But Bodhanam is not being accepted by Yudhishthira. So then what happened? Krishna and Vedavyas together went to talk to him. And Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita earlier to Arjuna. And Arjuna did not want to fight the war. But Arjuna agreed to fight after Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Having convinced by Krishna's arguments and Bhagavad Gita, got convinced. And after convinced, Arjuna took the weapon and decided to fight. So, Krishna says to Arjuna, to Yudhishthira, whatever you have done is based on dharma. There is nothing against religious principles. What you have done is the right thing. It's not at all sinful. It's a duty of a kshatriya to fight this war. And it was justified. You know what the Yudhishthira said to Krishna? He says, you are such an opportunist. Yudhishthira says to Krishna, you are such an opportunist that for the sake to do what you want to do, you will change anything what suits you. So many things. Yudhishthira got so upset with Krishna. And then he turned to Vedavyas and told him, just to please Krishna, this Vedavyas will do anything. So both of them, both Krishna and Vedavyas, has become his enemies practically. He was not willing to listen to either of them. And therefore he says to them, I can't say accept anything what both of you are saying to me. If it has happened, what can you do? Somebody falls into that kind of depression. Especially after the war, it is hurting him very much. Millions and millions were killed. And here is a situation that Vedavyasa, Dharmaputra being the eldest member and being the king, felt responsibility for all what has happened. And it was the guilty consciousness. He was really guilty about it. And it was disturbing his mind day and night. He couldn't sleep overnight, thinking about what has happened in the only an 18-day war, but the amount of people who got killed in that war, and many women have without husbands, children had no parents, and all sorts of situations. You can imagine what happens after a war like that. So why did this happen like this? that what made Yudhishthira to feel like this? So here, Sudha Goswami says, it is behind that is Krishna, to make him think like that. And they're saying that my elder brother is not willing to listen to me or to Veda Vyas. Krishna is saying I'm helpless about it. He is the one who is creating this situation from within. And he's saying to him, whatever we say, it does not work. You are not willing to accept it. Who Krishna is saying to Yudhishthira, I have given you my logic and reasoning. And the whole Bhagavad Gita, he has repeated what he spoke to Krishna, Arjuna before. A second time, a Bhagavad Gita happened there. But only thing is, what happened was the second time, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Yudhishthira fell asleep. And when Krishna completed Bhagavad Gita, Yudhishthira got up and asked Krishna, then, can we finish now what you have to say? That's how much he was interested in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna's effort failed there. Vedavyasa Maharshi's effort also failed. Nothing worked. So Krishna says to Yudhishthira, all right, you're not willing to accept what we say. But if Bhishma says that, will you accept that? Will you accept that what you have done is the right thing? So, would you accept that? He said, you are my elder brother. Will you accept if Bhishma Pitamaha says to you what has happened is the right thing? Yudhishthira says that, yes, I can accept that because Bhishma won't tell a lie. Bhishma won't tell a lie. So, there you can see Yudhishthira gave more value to Bhishma's words than Krishna's words. You have to look at all these things in the Mahabharatam and also in the Bhagavatam. It's not just a story what we read in the book. There's a lot of things happening among the members of the family itself. So they are asking here that Yudhishthira had more faith in Bhishma's words than in Krishna's words. So, and you may ask the question, after Bhagavad Gita is spoken to somebody, does it require a higher instruction than that? So, that is not Bhishma's instruction is this. To that extent, Krishna value Bhishma. To such an extent, only for holding Bhishma's position very high, Krishna has done that. Out of affection for Bhishma. Bhishma is one personality in the Mahabharata war, whom Krishna had a very unusual relationship, isn't it? Bhishma is fighting against Krishna, and there is Bhishma study, which will come in this chapter later on. Once you read through, the three different instances what Bhishma says when he understood who Krishna is. Three instances he repeats that in the Bhishma's glorifications, isn't it? So, all we can see is look at that situation there. Mahabharata Yuddham is going on there, and full of legs, arms, hands, everywhere, lying everywhere, and the crows and the eagles, they are coming and eating all these carcasses and the body. And Bhishma is lying there in one corner and ready to leave his body. And only where the area where Bhishma is lying is kept clean because he is away from all this battlefield. So, and there Arjuna has set up that bed of arrows for him to lie on, and which is all the Sharashaya, Bhishma's bed of arrows. And we are thinking that lying on the bed of arrows for Bhishma it should be okay, because we are lying in our most comfort. Our beds are not Sharashaya, isn't it? So, but, and you will see the when you look at the picture they have drawn, Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows. How Arjuna shot the arrows and Bhishma lying there on the top of that. But it is not like that, like you see in the picture. When you look at the picture, you think, oh, it's a nice bed with so many supports everywhere. And Bhishma is lying on that. It is not like that. The arrows have gone into Bhishma's body. And there is severe pain from the body. Only thing is, body is not touching the ground. And all the pores, wherever the hair is, it's all arrows are piercing through that. And because the head was a little bit down to support the head, Arjuna gave another few arrows to support the head as well. And Bhishma said to Arjuna, I want to keep head a little bit higher. And it was then that Arjuna gave another few arrows to support the head and give it like a pillow to give a little bit of extra support to the head. And that is how Bhishma is lying there. And the head was put in a higher position. And I don't think we can leave the body in that way. For, like the way Bhishma has left the body, that we can't even think about that. We are people, if an ant bites somewhere, immediately all the attention will go to that part of the body, where it is. Here, thousands of arrows are supporting Bhishma, and head is supported by another few arrows, and Bhishma is lying there, and it is lying in that state, Bhishma is speaking to Krishna and to Yudhishthira. So, once you see that scene, situation, where Bhishma is lying, naturally you will start thinking that if I have to die like this, to see Krishna, if I have to lie on a bed of arrows like the way Bhishma has to do, then it is a little bit difficult, is it not? And we can't think in that way. So Bhishma is lying like that. Dharma Uttram, Yudhishthira and Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, all of them arrived there, and Krishna was also with them smiling. Krishna was smiling. And a number of rishis also came. See that list mentioned there? How did they know that? That is again prompted by Krishna from within. Parvado narado dhaumyo bhagavan badarayana brihadasyo bharadvaja sashishyo renuga sudaha. Dhaumya Parvada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi, Dhaumya Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Brihadasyo Maharshi, Bharadvaja Maharshi, who else? Parashurama with all his disciples. Sashishyo Renuga Suda. Then Vasishtha Maharshi, Indra Pramada Stri, Gul Samado Asita Maharshi, Kutshivan, Gaudamam, Atri, Kaushiga, Sudarshanam. Number of great, great rishis, they all arrived at the scene, So, why did they come? They all came there because they knew that something important is going to happen there. That's why they came. When Krishna is traveling to see someone, when somebody is leaving the body, and that is an opportunity, something important is going to happen, otherwise they wouldn't have come. They sense that. These rishis are such great souls, they knew everything what is going on anywhere else. So in that great assembly, Bhishma started his instructions to Yudhishthira. Bhishma says to Yudhishthira that Bhishma instructed about all kinds of dharma. You see the number of things listed there, what has been spoken. Dana dharmam, Raja dharmam, all that. 26, 27 verses, 27, 28, all that is the dharmam that he has spoken. Dana dharmam, Raja dharmam, Moksha dharmam, Stri dharmam, Bhagavad dharmam, Samasam, Vyasa yoga. Samasam and Vyasam in a nutshell and in a very elaborate form. Dharmam artha kama momkshamscha saha upayan yathamani nanakena itihaseshu varnayamasa tattuvil. It was a very, very, very long discourse from Bhishma to Yudhishthira. In the Bhagavadam, in two verses, it was put in by Vedavyas. But in the Mahabharatam, it runs into many, many hundreds of chapters even. This Bhishma Upadesham, Bhishma's instructions to Yudhishthira. So, he said, told him that about all dharma Bhishma has instructed, and through that instructions, many of the doubts what Yudhishthira had, Bhishma managed to get rid of it from him. And he told him, this dharmam, because dharmam is, Yudhishthira Maharaj's name is Dharmavutra, isn't it? Very attached to dharmam more than anything else. That was his weakness also. You will see that later. That Yudhishthira Maharaj's greatest weakness was this attachment to dharma. Whereas Arjuna had no problem with that. And this is the reason that Dharmaputra was sticking to dharma, and that has driven him to extreme situation. Yudhishthira Bhishma told him that dharma is not same for everybody. This is another difficulty in spiritual life also. That dharmam is different for different people. something what is dharmam for one person, it can become adharmam for another person. Isn't it? Similarly, the difficulty with dharmam is like that. Dharmam, what is dharmam today, it may not be dharmam on another time. According to the time, it will change. What is dharmam in one place may not be dharmam in another place. According to place, it will change. So, dharmam is dependent on, is a very difficult thing to decide what is the right dharmam for anybody. And it is not same for everyone. That is the problem with dharmam. So, time, place, the person and the circumstances, all these will decide whether one action is dharmam or adharmam. See the problem? Dharmam is not something you can... Now what people are doing is, if there is an issue, they go and refer to Mani Samhita and take it from there and say, this verse are saying like this. And they say, this is the dharmam. Is that the dharmam? No, it's not. Because understanding... In the Vedic system, because dharmam is so difficult to understand, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Mahabharatam, spoke about dharmam. In addition to that, the Smriti talks about dharmam. Manusmriti is all about dharmam. What is dharmam for everyone? But when you want to apply that to the society, there is a difficulty. Is it not? So time, place, circumstances, the person and the situation, all these things as a factor in making that decision. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gatasa pantha. I think it is in relationship with the Ajamila story. That's where it comes. Tarka pradishta shudayo vibhinnam naso krishir masya yadam vibhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gatasa pantha. It's a famous verse. Dharmam, you cannot say what is the right thing, dharmam, in a particular situation. Dharmasya atarka pradishta shrutayo vibhinnam. Because Shruti talks about dharmam in different ways. What is dharmam for a brahmana is different for a kshatriya. What is dharmam for a vaishya is different for a shudra. So, when you look at the society where you have different classifications of the society, divisions in the society, it is very difficult to formulate a system of dharmam common to all people. It's not possible. It is not possible. That is why dharmasya tattvam, ultimately Bhishma said this to him also. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. It means that the secret of dharmam, or establishing what is dharmam, is most confidential. And it is decided by the person who is inside the guha. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. That supreme person who is inside, Andaryami, he is the one who has to decide what is dharmam and what is adharmam. And that is not possible for common man. Therefore, what do they have to do? Mahajano yena gadasa pantha. Great personalities, what they have done, take that as the authority and follow them. That's all you can do. Because there are situations in life when you do not know what is right and what is wrong. Two countries are fighting each other. Both of them have their own reasons to fight. What is dharmam there? How would you say this is right and that is wrong? This person is right and that person is wrong. Or this country is right, that country is wrong. So many situations in life, when you end up like this, when you look back, we with our mundane mind try to analyze the situation. But where is dharmam in that? Who is situated in the platform of dharmam? There you will find that it is a very difficult decision. That is why in the Bhagavatam it says, dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gadasa pantha. Mahajans, what they have done in the past, follow their footsteps and continue in life. That's all you can do. You can't come to any definite conclusions on that. So all these things, Bhishma spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj and told him that he should not, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is making this decision based on his mind. Mind was telling him that what he did was wrong. But Bhishma told him that you can't look at it that way. Dharmam is not decided by your own mind. Dharmasyatvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gada sambandha. So, out of all the dharmam, Bhishma says to him, I have spoken to you, Bhagavata dharmam is the highest of all. He said, Esha vai sarva dharmanam dharmodigatamo matha yadvyaktya pundarikaksham. In the Vishnu Sahasranam you will see, Esha vai sarva dharmanam dharma adhigatamo matha yadvyaktya pundarikaksham suvayarchen narasada. So, in the, that is, Vishnu Sahasranam is come from this Bhishma's instructions. When Bhishma instructed the Yudhishthira Maharaj, at that time it is there that these thousand names of Vishnu has come. What we today people are reciting as an offering to Vishnu, the prayers. So there, this verse, Eshavai Sarva Dharmanam Dharmodigatamo Mada Yadbhaktya Pundari Gaksham Stuvai Archen Narasada. That highest dharma of all is Bhagavata Dharmam. Or in other words, Bhishma says they are chanting the holy names of Krishna. That is the highest dharma. That, and hearing about Krishna, sarvadharmanam dharmodi gadamo mada yad bhaktiya pundarikaksham. Pundarikaksham is Krishna. So, bhakti to Krishna, Krishna consciousness in other words, is the highest dharma. So, he established that. Who? Bhishma. Established that to all these things are in the Mahabharatam. Nothing is spoken about that in the Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, of course, is the summary of everything, is it not? What is in the Vedam, the summary is there. You'll see that Saram Saram Samudradam. Saram Saram Samudradam. So, Samudradam, what is essence there is all what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. Only the essence is taken out from the Mahabharatam. So, therefore, what is spoken in the Mahabharatam is very elaborate, very exhaustively spoken about Bhishma's instructions to Yudhishthira and everything what is there, Vishnu Sahasranamam, Bhagavad Gita, everything comes there. But while talking to Yudhishthira, everything has been summarized and put it in a very nutshell. So that is how Srimad Bhagavatam is. Bhagavatam is only taking the essence from everywhere. So, you can see, all the other Puranas and all the other Itihasams, like Ramayana, Mahabharatam, everything, is brought into Bhagavatam only taking the very essence from that. Like whole Ramayanam, which is 24,000 verses, Shukla Brahmarshi summarized in two chapters in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Something like 100 or 120 verses. What he wanted to say about Ramayanam, he spoke in two chapters. Similarly, from Mahabharatam, which is 125,000 verses, what is necessary for Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa has taken and put it here. That's all. He didn't go in detail about anything. That is why Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned, only what is important for Bhagavata Dharmam that he has accepted from Mahabharatam. He has taken that. And he doesn't have the time to say everything also. What is Bhishma's instructions to Yudhishthira is a very, very long process in the Mahabharatam. So, after this glorification Bhishma has done to Krishna, Bhishma glorified Krishna and then paid his respects to him, lying in the bed of arrows, and said to Krishna, that I'm ready to leave this world. I'm ready to leave this world. And in other words, I'm going and feeling some happiness inside that Krishna had come to see him. But I have something to tell you, he said, before leaving. Bhishma is saying to Krishna. Krishna asked him, what is that? So Krishna thought for a moment, and Krishna thought that, is he going to thank me for putting him on top of this bed of arrows before leaving? That's what went through Krishna's mind. And he thought like that, but was it necessary to hurt me like this before sending me back? This thought came to Krishna's mind. Before sending me back from here, was it necessary to put me in this situation on the bed of arrows and give me all this pain and send me away from here? Krishna thought maybe he may speak about that. That was in his mind. And, but apparently they are saying that there was a reason why he had to go on top of this bed of arrows. You will see in the Bhagavatam later this issue comes up. Because if you hurt anyone, and if somebody is seriously hurt by any reason, that one has to be careful about that. Because even if it is Bhishma, you will have to pay the price for it. You will have to pay the price for it. That is the way the system works. Bhishma has been responsible for certain reasons for that. And it is possible that when Panjali or Draupadi was disrobed in the assembly, Bhishma was present there. And Bhishma could have prevented that happening. Is it not? Bhishma had the capacity, being the eldest member, after all, he installed all these people in their positions, whether it is Yudhishthira, whether it is Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana, whoever it may be, Dushasana and all others, they could not step out and question Bhishma if Bhishma wanted to say something. But somehow or the other, the circumstances turned out to be Bhishma didn't say anything. Bhishma didn't say anything. And that is the reason that Draupadi cried and begged for help from Krishna. Dwaraka was in. He calls him there. He is in Kwasi Yadavanandana. In the Mahabharata you will see Dwaraka was in Kwasi Yadavanandana. Where are you? Why haven't you come to help me? He said. So the Bhishma had the authority. If he wanted, he had the authority to protect Draupadi in that situation. But why did he not do that? Bhishma did not take the weapon. And not only that, Bhishma is a personality who is such a powerful person, even forcefully he could have done that. If you remember that when Amba, Ambiga, Ambaliga, the three girls whom he brought them from Mathura, and when all the king in their swayamvaram, in their marriage, when all the other princes and the kings were present there, they decided to fight Bhishma. Bhishma decided to take all the three girls from there to Hastinapuram. At that time, Bhishma fought single-handedly with them and beat them all, and he was so strong, this personality Bhishma. With his own teacher, Parashuram, Bhishma fought and won. So powerful is Bhishma. And that Bhishma, if he wanted, he could have stopped Duryodhana. It was not a problem at all. So, at that time, when Panjali was in such a distress, why Bhishma did not take the bow and protect her? So, and Panjali suffered a little bit at that time. Panjali expected help from Bhishma. It didn't come. And that distress Panjali carried all through the life, what she faced at that time. And it is because of that, devotees say that Bhishma had to pay back in this form, to lie on the bed of arrows, as a reaction of that, what he did. So, it is like that. We give pain to others, what we have to do if we haven't done. And if you have given pain to others, Krishna will pay back at some time in another form. He will come back to us. And we may think that we have no authority to analyze all these things to such finer details. But the problem with Krishna is not like Narasimhamurti. Narasimhamurti comes roaring like a lion and rip you off the chest and take out the intestines and everything. The difficulty with Krishna smiles at you and smacks you. That's the difficulty with Krishna. Unlike Narasimham, you can understand, he is like that. That he, if he is upset, he is upset. But when Krishna is upset, you won't know it. That's the problem. He will still smiling at you, but he will be smacking you from both sides. And you will be thinking, he'll put you into such a state, you'll be thinking, why is he smiling at me, but like we all say, isn't it? We go and stand in front of Gokulananda and say, oh, he's so nice. Gokulananda is smiling at me. He's so nice to me. But behind that smile, there is something else happening which we don't know what is going through there, isn't it? So all the time when Krishna smacks, he's always smiling. That smacking is with the smile. So so sometimes, you know, when you are at school in the smaller classes, we are very small children, 5 years, 6 years old. The teachers are much older. Nowadays you get young people, isn't it? But in the olden days, there were older people also as teachers. They may be 50, 55, close to retirement even. They could be your teachers at the small classes. So you really don't understand them, what they are like. But you are so frightened of them because they will beat you. And and so what used to happen was, when sometimes they will smile at you and give you a smack. So you will not know what they mean. Why? Because you are too small to understand their mind. So similarly, Krishna is like that. When Krishna is smacking us or giving us some pain in life, we really don't know why it is happening to us. We are devotees, we are chanting holy name, we are doing this, we are doing that. But Krishna is kicking from all the sides. And you start getting confused. Why is it like this? Everything is I'm doing right. Why is it happening? That is what answered here. This Bhishma situation is like that. So, one devotee said, comparing Narasimham and Krishna. Narasimhamurti opens his mouth big. You can put the hand inside. Krishna, you can't put the hand inside because it smiles. Such a beautiful smile. So you feel like looking at that smile. You can't do anything about it. Isn't it? Because Narasimhamurti, you can put the hand inside. Because you can take it for granted. He won't bite you with the teeth because he opens the mouth so big. Whereas Krishna's mouth, if you put the hand inside, you have to be careful. Like what happened to Yashoda, that he could bite, and the biting could be very strong. So, in front of Yashoda, Krishna is opening his mouth, asking for butter, milk and cheese and everything. At that time, even the teeth has not come out. But still, when Yashoda put the hand inside, she got bitten. She got bitten there. So, you can never say that Krishna won't bite you. The only thing is when he bites, while smiling, he'll be biting you. It's the way he bites people. So, any history, if you look back into Bhagavatam, you will see that if it is Krishna's decision that something has to happen in life, that if you have given some distress to somebody in some form, the reaction has to come from that. No matter who it is, whether it's Bhishma or whether it's somebody else. So, and this mistake has happened to Bhishma also. That point is also Vedavyasa is pointing out here. So, there is one important point here. The way Bhishma is presented in the Mahabharatam and the way Bhishma is presented in the Bhagavatam is little different. In the Mahabharatam, in the Bhagavatam, is like a devotee, completely as a devotee. But in Mahabharatam, when you read about Bhishma, you will find a little difficulty about Bhishma. Bhishma's activities and sometimes the way he reacted to situations is not completely like a devotee. That's why the difference between Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. In Mahabharatam, because Bhishma has a much bigger role, completely based on dharmam, he is presented. So Bhishma's words, Bhishma's responses to different personalities is not totally as a devotee. Whereas in the Bhagavatam, Bhishma is presented purely as a devotee. So, so Bhishma, when he wanted to speak, Krishna thought in his mind that is he going to say something in relationship with this punishment of the last minute of putting back on the bed of arrows. So, Bhishma says, I never thought I will get so much mercy from you. That's how he put it. I never thought I will receive this mercy from you. Lying on the bed of arrows, he's saying this to him. Not only that, not only mercy, a perfection as well. And he says to him, this what you have shown to me, you have not shown this before in any other incarnations. So, again when Bhishma said this, Krishna is not fully convinced that does he really mean that, or is he saying this in a very sarcastic way? Is he making a fun of it? Because Krishna knew very well that Bhishma has been hurt for this, what has happened to him. He has been lying on the bed for quite a few days. And the 18th day war was over. So few days before that, Bhishma fell. And then from then on, it is on the 58th day that Bhishma is leaving the planet. So that means 30-40 days he had to lie on that, on this bed of arrows, like this. Imagine that situation. We are people, if we don't get prasadam one day, our sharashaya is finished. We are already finished. Here is Bhishma lying on the bed without food, and that on the bed of arrows. And they have left him and gone away. All these Pandavas, everybody. So, Bhishma kept on saying, it's your grace, it's your mercy this is. So, that, and that also he says, the only thing I have realized here, Bhishma says to Krishna, that it is nothing but your grace, that what you have shown to me. And these things, this perfection what I have seen here, Bhishma is saying to Krishna, the perfection what I have seen here, particularly in three instances, I have not seen this in any other incarnations. Neither in the Ramachandra's appearance, nor in the many other incarnations what Krishna has gone before. This perfection I have seen in this incarnation, I have not seen this before, says. And that is that three verses he spoke to them. He spoke to Krishna in three verses, what that mercy or grace or kripa or karunyam what Krishna has shown to Bhishma. And he quoted them one thing, Vrindavanam pastimes. One is Vrindavana pastimes. Second one is in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. And the third one in the Mahabharata war. In these three places, Bhishma says, I have understood who you are. This is how Bhishma talks about Krishna. These three specific instances where Bhishma says that I understood who Krishna is. He says here, in these three places, it's a feast of liberation, says Bhishma. Anyone who died, left the body in the Mahabharata war, got liberated. Everybody who left, who died in the battle of Mahabharata war, got liberated. Anyone who died in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, along with Shishuvala, Dandavatra and many others who gave up the body, they all got liberated. Everyone in the Vrindavana pastimes got liberated. Bhishma says to Krishna, it is nothing but this perfection what you have shown in these three instances, a feast of liberation. Anyone, everyone, go back to the spiritual world. Where else, who else has shown this? Bhishma is saying to Krishna. So, in other words, these are the three instances in Krishna's pastimes where in bulk, in massive way, devotees were sent back to the spiritual world. Vrindavanam pastimes, then in the pastimes in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, and also in the Mahabharata war, in three instances. So, it is one instance where, whether it is the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara, the Kumaras, or whether it is Putana, there was no discrimination. Both of them were told you can go back. Putana was sent back. Is it not? Putana was sent back. Great devotees were sent back. Sudama was also given that opportunity. And in particularly, it is in this Krishna's pastimes only you will find this. Whether you are the highly learned, realized souls like Kumaras, four Kumaras, or whether you are a personality like Putana, Arishtasura or anybody, both of them were given the fed in the same feast together. in Krishnavataram. That opportunity hasn't happened in any other incarnations, like the way it happened in the Krishna's appearance. What Krishna did, it did not matter. Putana has come to poison Krishna and to feed her with the breast covered with poison. Krishna says, you come to me as a mother, you go back. This is Krishna. Aho bhagiyam stana kala kodam jigham saya payedapya sadvi lebhe gadim, gave him the passage to the spiritual world. Lebhe gadim, why? Datri ujidam kodonyo. You came to me like a mother to feed me the milk. You go back to spiritual world. Where else you will find this kripa or grace? In which other incarnation have you shown this? Says even Shuka Brahmarshi was moved by that kindness what Krishna has shown to Putana. Lebe gadim datri ujidam kudonyo kamva dayalam sharanam vrajema. That daya or that karunyam or mercy what Krishna has shown, where else will I find it? And who else should I take shelter? Says Sukadeva Goswami. Should we not take shelter of this personality who has even offered liberation to a person like Putana who had come to kill him as a baby? Even to him, to her, Krishna says, you go back to the spiritual world. So, and similarly, Vrindavana Leela, pastimes, famous, isn't it? Also, Dharmaputra Maharaja, Yudhishthira Maharaja, Rajasuyam sacrifice, and in that sacrifices, what was the difference? The difference was this. Whoever has participated in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, all of them were liberated. Whoever has participated, they all gone back in the Rajasuyam. 17 months and 17 days it lasted. Rajasuyam, there is not much in the Bhagavatam. If you want to understand Rajasuyam, you have to read Mahabharatam. The elaborate presentation of the Rajasuyam sacrifice and Krishna's role in Rajasuyam. It is only touched and gone in the Bhagavatam. But there you will find what role Krishna has played in Rajasuyam. How Yudhishthira Maharaj invited Krishna, it begins from there for this Rajasuyam. And similarly, in Mahabharata war also says, everyone who participated in the Mahabharata war, they've all gone back to the spiritual world. Anyway, most of it, there are three verses there that you will see here. That the whole Bhishma study, if you look, basically it's only these three things that's spoken there. That the pastimes in Mahabharata war, battlefield, pastimes in Vrindavanam, and pastimes in Rajasuyam. That is Bhishma study. Nothing more than that. So here, Mahabharata Yuddham, the Mahabharata war is the one which Bhishma has thought and discussed more than anything else. And that is where, because that is where he was personally involved more than the Rajasuyam or Vrindavana pastimes, isn't it? Bhishma's direct involvement was in the Mahabharata war. So that's why he's saying there, you will notice that Sabhadi Sakiva Jo Nishamya Madhye, 35, verse 35. Nijaparayor Bhalayoratham Nivesha Stidavadi Parasaini Ayurashna Ghridavadi Parthasakhe Radir Mamastu. Parthasakhe Radir Mamastu. Says here that who started first of all driving Arjuna's chariot, and when this Krishna who was driving the chariot, when he used to play with the other cowherd boys, as little boys in Vrindavanam, then all that what was happening there, that he, the gopis used to protect Krishna, that they did not want him to get hurt, his lotus feet, from the stones as well as from the different thorns, what was in the forest. So, who was serving Krishna at that time as gopis? They were serving him. In the Brahma Samhita you will see that. Lishmi Shada Sahasra Sambrahma Sevyamanam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Thousands and thousands of Lakshmis, Lakshmi Devis have come in their forms and serving Krishna. And all of them, when Krishna was playing, having that Vrindavana pastimes, the Lakshmi Devis were present there in the form of gopis, looking after Krishna there. And they were sweeping the place for Krishna to play. And you can see that change that happens in Krishna's pastimes. From Vrindavanam pastimes, Krishna was looked after by the gopis. So, in a similar way, when we are in our schools and colleges, we have one mood. But afterwards, when you get a job and when you get settled in life, the whole mood changes, isn't it? So, similarly, in Krishna's case also, you have to notice one thing, that all the three Tramurtis, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they have all passed their examinations, but they haven't got their jobs yet. So they have come to see Krishna to get the position. In Vrindavana pastimes, that is what you find. Shiva coming to see Krishna, Vishnu coming to see Krishna, Brahma coming to see Krishna in different times, isn't it? And they are asking for a position for them. Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, all of them, Mahalakshmi also comes as a... So, in order to understand that, if you want to talk about Krishna's aristocratic nature, the aristocracy in Krishna's dealings with the devotees, sometimes it's very difficult to understand. In the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, you will see this. Why was Brahma got such a shock? Normally, when the devadas, demigods, when they perform sacrifices, they perform sacrifices to please Krishna. But even when sacrifices, offerings are made, Krishna does not come to accept that. He doesn't come. He sends assistants to go and receive the honor, whatever they want. So, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they are all the devadas who come, and through them the offering is made. But when they saw, Brahma saw, Krishna is sitting with the cowherd boys and accepting prasadam from them and enjoying that prasadam, Brahma was in a shock. That is what made Brahma to think. If you look into the Brahma Valsasthayam, that pastime, Brahma Mohana Leela is coming from that. So, here he says here, Sapati Sakiva Jo Nishamya Madhye. Arjuna got into the chariot and ready to fight the war. It is this Arjuna in the beginning said to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Senayo Ribhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapayam Achyuta. Achyuta is his driver, he's calling him. Achyuta, please park the chariot in front, in between the two armies. It was the tone of Arjuna then, thinking that I'm going to handle all the situations, isn't it? So, and he was treating Krishna more like a driver, a person, how you treat like an employee, in the same way, isn't it? So, if you say that what is Arjuna's driver's name? Achyuta. That's the way the reaction response is, isn't it? That's how he's saying there. Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthavayam Achyuta. Achyuta, park the car here, or park the chariot, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye, between these two armies. And Krishna has accepted that also. And it is that that driver Achyuta who spoke Bhagavad Gita later and made him realize it who he is, isn't it? And he got into the chariot, and behind that Arjuna, Krishna is sitting there in the chariot. And he's driving that chariot, holding the reins in one hand, and in the right hand he had got the whip in his hand to whip the horses. And behind these horses, he was pushing the horses to move. And if you see the way Krishna was driving the chariot, it will appear as though that is his permanent job. Krishna's permanent job is this driving this chariot. And Bhishma is observing all these things and he's saying like this. He said that when I saw that form, sapati sakhiva jo nishamya madhye nija parayor balayoratham niveshya stidavadi parasainika yurashna hrudavadi partha sakheretir mamastu. Such an important verse that Bhishma is saying, the way Arjuna was dealing with you and the way you were driving the chariot to help your Arjuna, I just cannot imagine this, he said. Arjuna didn't show much of a respect to Krishna, just purely treated him like a driver, as a servant in that way. But Krishna, on the other hand, is showing that it is my devotee, I have to look after him. That compassion from Krishna. And Bhishma says, I have recognized that at that moment, that you are behind it. Stitavadi parasainika yurashna hrudavadi partha sakhe eratir mamastu. That every moment when you have talked about Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna at that time, that every word when you have spoken, and Krishna was introducing the whole army to Arjuna, who was standing on both sides. And when he spoke about the Kaurava's army, Bhishma says, they were pointing out who is in the army of the Kauravas and looked at us and then they looked at Arjuna, telling him that these are these people. While pointing out to Arjuna, every moment Krishna has looked at us and then he looked at Arjuna. And each time when he looked at the Kaurava army and looked at Arjuna, our lifespan was taken away and handed over to Arjuna. That is what he is saying there. Stitavadi parasainika yurashna hrudavadi partha sakhe eratir mamastu. At that point I realized there is no point in fighting this war. Already it's decided. Because Arjuna was thinking it is because of his ability he is going to win the war. But what is Arjuna for me? Bhishma says, Arjuna is nothing in front of Bhishma. Bhishma wants it. Not one Arjuna, hundreds of Arjunas, he can beat them down. That is how strong Bhishma is. But when I saw this, that you were behind him, and every moment you looked at us and he looked at him, I understood that our life is over. Stithavadi parasainika yurashna hrudavadi partha sakhe ratir mamastu. And this Bhishma study is the one when people are leaving this world, when they are dying, if you get an opportunity or asking you to come to talk to them, you should take Bhagavatam and read Bhishma Stuti in front of them while they leave the body. That is the normal system. So, he says to him that this compassion what you have shown to Arjuna, that Krishna's attachment to Arjuna and his kindness what he has shown to Arjuna, Bhishma is glorifying here. Stitavada parasainika yurashna hrudavadi partha sakhe Jatiram Mamastu. Then he says, Vavahida putana pradhanamukham nirishya svajana vadhat vimukhasya dosha buddhya kumati mahar atmavidyaya yas charanarati paramasya tasya mestu. When Arjuna decided not to fight and left his bow and arrow and sat down saying that I will not fight, Bhishma knew what was going on. Bhishma understood, this is the type of person who is going to fight with me, who doesn't have the courage to fight. But then, at that time, he says there, Kumati Mahar Alma Vidyaya Bhagavad Gita. By talking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and by speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who brought Arjuna back into the war, into the battle, and made him to realize Charanarati, and with that Arjuna fought. And therefore, I cannot say anything more than that. Partha sakhe, he says, O friend of Arjuna, Radhir Mamastu, let me remember you at this point in time and leave this body. In this way, every verse in the Bhishma Stuti is always talking about Krishna's glories, Krishna's relationship with the devotees, and thanking Krishna for coming and giving that last vision to Bhishma while leaving this body. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jinadhyapa Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.